Good. We never know how to start these things. This is never like, it never feels like it's, it has to think, podcast, like a conversation, it has to get a ball rolling. It's not like a song that you could kick off with a good jam. We need momentum. This episode of the Joe Rogan Experience podcast brought to you by Squarespace.com. Squarespace.com is it's a website that we highly recommend if you want to make a website. You don't have to go to someone and get your website made anymore. It used to be you did. I've had every single one of my websites made by someone who knows what the fuck they're doing. But you don't have to do that now. I've actually messed around with this and created a website, and it's easy to do. Brian has created a shitload of them while we've done the actual show itself. It shows you how to do everything, and you don't even have to enter your credit card to try it if you're like, ooh, this ain't going to work. Just give it a shot, fuck around with it online, and if you're not into it, just close the browser. But if you're into it, you enter in your credit card information, and you can just take it live. And you can also start your own store. Online stores are stupid easy to do. And the way it's set up, it's basically point and click. If you know how to use normal programs, like if you can open Microsoft Word, if you can go to a website and navigate your way around, you can figure out how to use Squarespace. It's stupid easy. Choose from over 20 badass designs. They have 24/7 super fast email support and live online chat support. It also works with everything. If you make a website, it'll work on an iPhone, it'll work on a Droid, it'll work on all the different browsers on computers. So go to squarespace.com, and if you use the code word Joe and the number 9, all one word, Joe9, you will save 20% for a limited time. I think that's just till the end of this month, which is like tomorrow or something, right? So if you hear this, today is September 30th. Know this. That probably only works for a couple days.
It might be Joe 10 after that.
Yeah, maybe. Well, hopefully they'll. Well, it will be that, but I don't know if they get the 20% off because it's normally 10% off. They doubled it up. Anyway, that's it. Go there. Do that if you want or don't. Doesn't matter. It's all going to be good. We're also brought to you by. That's the beautiful thing about high numbers. You know, there's no high pressure here, folks. There's plenty of us out there. Some of us actually need to make a website. But here's something we could all use because, let's be honest, most of us are dumb as fuck. And there's a website that tries to help you with that. It's called Lumosity. And the idea behind Lumosity is the same idea behind exercise, is use your mind and use your mind in very specific ways. If you just exercise like a knucklehead, you don't know what you're doing, you're not going to get any results. The best way to get results out of exercise is to engage in a program that's specifically designed to make your body work better. And that's what they've done with the human brain. They've created a bunch of games, and these games are so specific that you actually can enter in different parameters. Like, you get started, and they ask you, okay, like, what out of your memory are you trying to improve? Whether you're trying to recall certain names, whether you're trying to learn new things, whether you're trying to keep track of several ideas at the same time. So you enter in which one of those things applies, and then the next step, attention, and improve productivity, concentrate, and based on what are these things you check, like maybe you don't give a fuck about maintaining focus. Maybe you're just one of those dudes that's gangster about that. Or maybe you don't give a fuck about reacting quickly. You're just a laid-back guy. If you do, though, they have it set up for speed of the mind, speed of decision-making. And it all comes out in games. And what they've done is essentially set up a bunch of fun games that you can play. And these games actually increase your memory, make your focus, your mental speed better, make your focus more in tune, better problem solving. It's really kind of interesting. I just started fucking around with it, and I feel exactly the same. I'm not going to lie to you, but it's early. I mean, I'm a thick-headed dude. It's going to take some time to make me smarter, but I'm into it, and it's interesting. And if you go there, say that you heard it from me, Joe Rogan, and I don't know what happens. They hook you up or something? Maybe they say thanks.
Is there one for men and one for women?
I don't think so. I do not think so. I think it's entirely, which is probably a good idea, right? Because men and women's minds have been proving scientifically to function better. And who would know better than you?
Exactly.
Both sides of the coin. You can tell us exactly what the fuck's going on. So go there, go to Lumosity, check it out, and tell them that Joe Rogan sent you. And you'll enjoy it. It's interesting. I'm using it. Like I told you guys that I would update you along the way. And like I said, I'm not any smarter. I'm exactly the same. At least I don't think I am. I think it would take time. Maybe I am. Maybe you think I am. Maybe you're going, Joe, you're being hard on yourself. You feel smarter already this show. If so, thank you. All right. We're also brought to you by Onnit.com. That's O-N-N-I-T. And this will be the last commercial. If you're like, what the fuck, dude? You're some sort of a capitalist. Just trying to get paid, son. Go to Onnit.com and check out all the things we have to offer. The way we best describe Onnit is it is a human optimization website. We try to make available for you everything that we enjoy. I mean Aubrey and myself and all the folks that that own Onnit. The way we have it set up is anything we find that's good, whether it's the best hemp protein powder we can find, whether it's the best Himalayan salt or killer bee honey or MCT oil. We sell the bulletproof stuff because I think his stuff is the best. I think he has the best coffee and I think he has the best MCT oil. I've listened to his philosophy on acquiring products and I believe in it. So we just sell his shit. You know, we try to find the best stuff that we can get online as far as strength and conditioning equipment, whether it's battle ropes. We try to sell them to you as reasonably as possible. We're not trying to rip anybody off. And in proving of that, all the supplements on Onnit.com, like Shroom Tech and Alpha Brain, they all have a 30-pill, 90-day money-back guarantee, which means if you try Alpha Brain and you go, you know what, this thing didn't do shit for me, you get your money back. You don't even have to send the pills back in. Like, the idea behind it is to make sure that nobody feels ripped off. The last thing I want is anybody feeling like they get fucked, unless you wanted to get fucked. You know what I'm saying, people. Go to Onnit.com, use the code name Rogan, and save 10% off any and all supplements. We got a lot of cool shit, including the new Primal Bells, which are all kettlebells by John Shubin Jr. Is that his name, right? Is that his name? God damn, I'm terrible with these fucking things. Honestly, Mr. Shubin. Mr. Shubin, I presume.
Oh, those are so
yeah, they're
cool.
Pretty badass. Well, they're made by a real artist.
What?
Steven Shubin? Steven Shubin. I want to say it's Steven.
Wow.
Fuck, I keep forgetting. I'm terrible with names. Yeah, the gorilla is Tupud, which is a Russian measurement of weight for kettlebells. It's 72 pounds. Then the orangutan's 54, and the chimp is 35. These are all balanced out, too, so you can use them. They're actually functional, not just cool looking.
They should put one with your head on it.
Maybe. Maybe I could be like 60 pounds for people who don't want to commit to the gorilla. But they have big fat handles, so they enhance your grip strength. We made them as good as we can for actual use. I use that chimp all the time, and I use the gorilla too for power movements. Power movements. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. The end. Onnit.com, code word Rogan, bloody fucking blah, blah, blah. This weekend, I'm at the Ontario Improv. That's in Ontario, California. Don't be freaking out if you're living in Ontario, Canada, because I was just there. We were just in Toronto, you fucks. But that's this weekend. I'll be at the Ontario Improv. And then October 18th, I'm at the Bayou Music Center in Houston, Texas. It's almost sold out. There's only, I think there's like 100 tickets left or less. And then Dance House Theater in Manchester, England on the 25th. That shit sold out. And then Irvine Improv on November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. That's in Irvine, California. All right. That's it. That's all we got going on. Buck Angel's here. We're gonna party. Cue the music, Jamie.
Joe Rogan Podcast. Check it out.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night. All day.
What's that? What are you saying?
That's serious, like, stuff you have to talk about. Like, your sponsorship is
They're
awesome.
Serious?
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you have so much sponsorship. It's awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of sponsorship. Too much, probably. We're probably whoring it out right now. We're probably hitting the whore threshold.
You have to do it, though.
Well, it helps, you know. It helps to get... It motivates you to do things, too.
But it's all
good
stuff.
You get paid for it. Yeah, it's all good stuff. We make sure of that. I've definitely turned down more things than I've accepted for podcast sponsors because there's a lot of them that are just, you know, it's sketchy or...
Well, you believe
weird websites.
In your products,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Everything that we have, I use.
Right. And that's the point.
Yeah. Or if I wouldn't use, I believe that I would use it. If I had a situation like stamps.com, I don't use it. But if it came up, I'd use it.
Or the website builder.
Exactly.
You had to
build
your own website.
Well, hey, man, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank
appreciate you,
you
coming
no,
by.
No, it's really cool for you to have me on. You know that.
Is it?
You know how cool it is.
I try not to. I try not to be aware of how cool anything is. You know, just stay as even as mellow as possible.
Some people are very scared of me, so they won't go there?
Ah, man, you know what? I think people are more scared of themselves than they are of other things.
Clearly. Especially, but they don't admit it.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that going on, right? That's a weird thing with humans. It's we're all, first of all, we're all afraid of the great beyond. Mm. We're afraid of the abyss at the end of this journey, which we will all face. Everybody's fucking terrified of that.
Right.
And in being terrified of that, you also open yourself up to a series of other terrors that you accept because you have the primary terror that's always tick-tocking. And you don't want to think about that primary terror. Mm. So you ignore that primary terror with a series of other terrors, whether it's you're worried about homos or immigrants or blacks, totally, or Mexicans, yeah, or Canadians or Russians.
It's always them.
It's always them. It's always someone who wants to take my guns, right, or someone who has guns. You know, it's either someone who's moving into the neighborhood or there's always
people. Put that wall up.
I mean, there's also the problem of there's too much information coming at us on a daily basis.
Right.
You know, there's fucking 7 billion people on this planet, and we're just inundated with horror stories, right, like all throughout the globe, constantly, right, every day. The grossest shit is the shit that we're going to pay attention to the most. The most horrifying stories in the news are the ones that we're going to, they're going to get the most clicks. So, you know, the old adage, if it bleeds, it leads.
But I think people are interested in that. That's why they, yeah, do that, because people get excited to hear like that crazy bad news, or else it wouldn't be the number one news.
Well, I think it's because it's a part of our past, you know, and it's also like what got us to be in 2013 in the first place is by being scared of everything and staying alive, you know, breeding, keeping moving, staying, right, alive, being terrified of anything that can hurt you.
Right.
But these things can't really hurt us. They could hurt us if we're there, but we're not there. We're not right next to the volcano as it goes off. We're on the other side of the planet.
Yeah, but they're touching on that fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, that fear comes up with whatever you just said, any of those, yeah, above-mentioned things, and then all of a sudden you're like, ah!
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I kind of did that when I moved out of the United States, I'll be honest with you.
Well, I would imagine so. I was going to ask you if we could talk about that, because I don't know if you wanted to...
Oh, totally.
Yeah, yeah, wanted to... You live in Mexico now.
I live in the Yucatan in Mexico.
That's, yeah, pretty dope. What happened?
Wow. Well, I mean, I was living in New Orleans and Hurricane Katrina hit, remember?
Yeah.
Katrina, and I was really disappointed with the way that things were going. And I really just saw, like, do I live in this country? Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I'm an American. I'm totally cool with that. I like being American. But I was really having a hard time with the government and just everything that was happening. That really kind of set me off. And I was like, what is going on in this country? And I just started looking for other places to live because I just saw a future that was not going to be positive for me.
And what did you see that was positive about Mexico?
Well, the Yucatan, what I felt was that I could go live there and nobody really – I felt – first off, my work in the adult entertainment business was being attacked by the Bush administration.
Right.
Not a lot of people really know that situation.
Yeah. Did you freak out when, like, Max Hardcore got arrested,
totally,
and went to jail? Scary to me, and I'm not a pornographer.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for saying that, because even though you're not a pornographer, that's still something that could affect you in the long run.
Well, not only that, it's like, I don't like what he does. I don't like, I've seen some of the videos. It's,
sure,
it's mean,
yeah,
it's nasty.
Yeah.
Cruel,
yeah,
weird torture type shit. Mm-hmm. I've seen, he opened up this girl's ass and pissed in it and stuck a straw in it and made her drink out of it. It's like, it was so, it's so gone
it
that
is.
I it's, don't like it. You know, I mean, I think it's creepy and the guy's a creep for doing it, but whatever.
But there's a, here you have to understand though,
yeah,
he's a businessman,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
And so he's like feeding the customer.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you in the fact that it's not my thing either.
Right.
But I'm not going to judge.
Right.
I don't like to judge. So
I don't like to judge either, man. It's like I was having this conversation with a friend of mine about bondage and like women who like to get tied up.
Right.
And I'm like, look, you can't deny that people like that. Like,
totally,
if you're a strong woman and you are, and you're kind of a control freak and you run a business and you can imagine anybody ever fucking tying you up, that's okay. But that's just you.
Totally.
Like, there's somebody out there that loves it. There's people that love it.
They live for it.
They like, they take pictures on Twitter of their rope marks on their wrists.
They live for it.
Yeah, they love it. They like getting tied up.
Yeah.
They like getting abused. There's people that actually enjoy it. And, you know, I guess maybe it's a fantasy thing for some of them.
But it's consensual.
Exactly.
That's the key that people need to understand, is that it's consenting between two adults.
Yeah. So when you get to that weird area where someone is sort of like deciding what's moral and immoral? It's so subjective.
Clearly it is. I mean, it's I have played those kind of games. I'm very into that, this leather scene and playing certain kinds of games. But you have to understand, it's me and that other adult saying, this is what we want. Most of the time it's negotiated.
Right.
I would never do something that you didn't want me to do to you, or vice versa, right? It seems twisted. But it's twisted in our own kind of fun way.
Yeah, and what the fuck is wrong with that? What's exactly. That's a weird thing to decide that there's something wrong with two people doing what they want to do that doesn't even involve you.
Thanks for saying that.
But it's weird that there's a certain group of people that will just openly do that. That will openly try to stop people from marrying each other just because they're the
same sex. But
you don't
think that has a lot to do with religion in this country?
It certainly does.
Organized religion, I need to say.
It certainly does. Yes. And what does that embrace? That embraces the fear.
There we go.
The great answer of the fear. The fear at the great end of the abyss. And if you don't do what we're going to do, what I tell you to do, rather, you're going to burn in an internal inferno.
I'm already there.
An internal inferno. Eternal inferno. Are you, though?
No, I'm just kidding.
It's impossible.
No. Actually,
they're there. They're there while they promote it. That's
but
the real hell.
It's a strange thing to do to people. I really think that fear and that, like, if you don't listen to what we have to do. But the fact that so many millions of people get sucked into it, what's that?
I have theories.
Okay.
My big one is that religion is and language itself is essentially like a pit stop on the way to the unification of the human minds, and that we still can lie. And that's a real issue. And we also understand what is convincing. And we understand, like, when words come across well. So because you can tell me a true story and it can move me and you can get a very powerful reaction out of me, you can fabricate a story and say it as if it was true and get that exact same reaction. Because we can't read minds yet. So because of this weird sort of adolescent stage that we have right now that we exist in, where we're not quite evolved enough where we could read each other's minds, but we share a form of telepathy, communication with our verbal telepathy. It's basically, if we're honest, you're explaining to me and I'm kind of getting a sense through the words and the definitions that I've got in my head of those words. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of getting a sense of what you're saying. So I'm reading and you can tell me stories about your past. You can express to me how you feel about things currently. You're going to see it from your point of view, as long as you're being honest. But when you start all of a sudden realizing that you don't have to be honest, and then realizing that you can kind of manipulate things. And what is the quintessential preacher? It's a fire and brimstone man who speaks like no one you know. Someone who speaks from the word of God and stands on that stage and knows, looks you in the eye, and the spirit of the Lord moves me. And they talk like a way that you never talk, and it's so enforced and powerful that it just... it's just a power thing. It just becomes a power thing. It becomes the ability to manipulate and to move people with these lies. And so you just get good at it.
But it's a specific kind of person. Yes. Because I don't get manipulated by it, and neither do you.
Right. But I could have. I did when I was young. When I was really young, I mean, I went to Catholic school when I was in first grade, and that's what cured me of it. I had an evil Catholic school nun, and the school was just so dark and just... a void of happiness. There was no happy. It was empty. It was just a depressing. I mean, it made me worry about the future of life. Like, before I went to that school, I was like a happy kid. I thought that life was going to be fun. And just 1 year with that cunt and all the other evil fucks that were running that school, and just seeing kids get beaten.
How old were you?
I was six.
And you
first
and
grade?
You felt that at 6 years old?
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Very clearly.
Wow.
Very clearly that religion was horseshit.
Wow.
Right away. I was like, oh, this is all bullshit. Like, this isn't real. These are all crazy people. Because I could tell being six that these were all just a bunch of maniacs.
Right.
This evil lady who liked to yell and scream at kids. She used to like to scare the shit out of you, tell you that she's going to make you sit on a nail. She's going to make you sit in the closet on a nail, and you're going to make you bring, you better bring your pillow because you're going to sleep here. You're never going home. Like, she knew you wanted to get out of there, so she would torture you and tell you you're never going home. That kind.
That's like, that is weird, weirdness that is like unconsensual S&M with children.
Yeah, it is.
That's totally a good twisted.
That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah. Yeah, but I think it started out with that. It started out, it probably started out, if you really think about how much is good in Christianity. Love your brother, right. Treat others as if they were yourself. The core tenets of Christianity, about just the work of Jesus, how he always was with the dregs of society, right. And he didn't judge people at all, and he tried to heal the sick. All the things that are positive about it. You got to think that there's some basis in religion is like things that people learn that really connect you to the happy life, mm-hmm. to the good life, which is the life of love, mm-hmm. the life of caring for each other. So they figured these things out, but then in writing them down, back then especially, like, it wasn't until like the 1500s that people read the Bible on a regular basis. Most people couldn't read it. There was right. You have to be like a scholar, or you had to be someone who understood Latin, or right. someone who could read Greek. The people of the common folks of the 1500s, they, you know, that was what the big Martin Luther thing was about. It was Martin Luther was the first guy to create like a phonetic Bible mm-hmm. that people could actually read, and they were like, wait a minute, this is not what we thought it was.
Right.
And that's what spawned Lutherism. Like the, right. the their view of the Bible was completely different than what they'd been taught, and it made a huge issue because the church was trying to control who had access to that information.
Right.
Because if you had access to that information, you could tell people, hey, this is what God wants you to do, and you have to listen.
Right.
And now all of a sudden people were able to read it for themselves.
Right.
And so that took one layer of power away. So we're dealing with today is the most enlightened version of religion the world has ever known. Uh-huh. It's still a fucking crippled mess.
It's a total mess. It's scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
It's what runs most of the world, really.
Yep. It's just because most of the world hasn't caught up yet. Just like there was no cell phones in most of the world two decades ago. I think two decades from now, the idea of religion is going to be way, way less common. Way less common.
I hope so.
I'm almost positive. It's not the idea of God. The idea of God will probably be more common.
Yeah.
Because people will kind of understand that the word God is real slippery. You know, you think of, there's a dude in the clouds that's running everything. Mm-hmm. But if you took that word away, and what do you, you know, just express it, not a person, not a thing, but is there an energy? Is there an idea? Is right. there an ideal way of living the world? What would be the godly way? The godly way would be almost exactly like they say in the Bible.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be like.
Yeah.
But they manipulated it.
Yeah.
Because why did they do that, though? I think because they wanted to start controlling yeah. the masses. So they made it a different thing than really what it is.
Well, it's also, how the fuck do you regulate people? You know, I'm sure if you're, especially if you're a dumb person living a few hundred years ago, it's too hard to regulate people. It's too hard to get, you get 1,000 people in a room and yeah. every one of them wants to be the king.
Right.
You know, like who the fuck is going to, if you have some information, they're not going to listen. I got my own information. I'm right. starting my, Scientology, it's the new one. I got over here, we got Mormonism is the shit. What you guys are doing, you're trash. Jesus wrote some new shit, you know, and there's always going to be a new ego that wants to step to the center of the line right. and control the room. And because of that, it's almost like it was impossible to not have bullshit. But if it wasn't for that religion, if it wasn't for a bunch of people that were put in line and scared, and this is a terrible idea, but I think it's probably true. I don't think we would have made it this far. I think people would have been way more barbaric.
Like than, out of control.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless there's only two ways around it. One is mushrooms. If you gave people mushrooms very young from like an early day on, and then that would probably eliminate a lot of the need for religion.
Well, like look at certain cultures in the world, like yeah. the Mayan people. They used all of that kind of stuff. And yeah. I don't think that they were like freaking out on each other or had to do like some major religious...
Actually, they freaked out each other a lot.
The Mayans?
Yeah, they did
the
a lot
Aztecs?
Of human sacrifice, both
well,
of them.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we're judging that, right?
Well, maybe you probably should.
We should do it now.
Killed the Mayan or the Aztecs when they built the pyramid of Teotihuacan, I think it was. They killed 80,000 people over a period of a few days.
Oh, for you days?
Yeah, yeah. It's some insane amount of people.
How do you have so much information in your head?
Weed and dinner. Those,
you're just like pulling up facts. I'm like, wait.
Well, the Aztecs, they killed all the people. When they, upon the completion of the pyramid, they killed all the slaves. All the prisoners that were right. that were helping them
helping
build these awesome buildings,
yeah.
they just cut their hearts out and fucking right. tossed them to the crowds.
Right. I mean, that's kind of hardcore. But
yeah.
I don't think the Mayans were that hardcore.
Oh, yeah, they were.
Really?
Yeah, they had. If you ever go to Chichen Itza, there's actually...
Yeah, I live like an hour from Chichen
yeah,
Itza.
Have you been to the one where you go to the temple and there's a fucking big table where they cut people's hearts
right.
out on? It's like this demon god looking thing,
right?
And he's holding up this table, and
that's like, where that's they would cool.
carve people's fucking hearts out with you know one
and
of those
eat it.
Big quartz knives. I don't know what the fuck they did with it. And there's also a lot of thought that the Mayans, much like almost every civilization from ancient Egypt on, they start out really good. And then everything just fucking crumbles apart as you get several generations in.
So is that human nature?
It could be.
Right.
It's also, I think, what right. we were saying earlier. I think it could be a part of this inability to completely understand each other because right. the ability to lie through language. And then also the people that develop these ideas and work so hard to create this culture are not the people that are born into it and enjoy it from the get-go.
Right.
It's sort of like kids that are born rich. They develop this like really spoiled – like have you ever met someone who is like really intense and like super focused like some banker type character but his son is just a complete waste product?
Of course.
Yeah, always.
Of
right?
course, always. Even in Mexico there's those.
Of
they're
course.
Really bad in Mexico.
I'm
like,
sure.
The rich kids are out of control. It's like they're all from Beverly Hills. Like nothing. They have to they don't have to do anything. So they have this attitude that everyone is their waiter or everyone is their, you know, servant. They have that attitude there.
Wow. Yeah. It's the
really
haves
bizarre.
And have nots are much greater there,
it's
right?
It's much – the difference between money and no money is insane there. Yeah. That
How
was something
choose?
I had to get used to actually.
How did you choose the Yucatan?
Because we looked around where we wanted to live and then we realized it's only an hour and a half flight from Houston. It's like right across the water. It's really
wow.
close to the United States. And because I work so much in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
it's just like I can commute to you know my work really easy. And it wasn't a difficult situation.
Do you ever feel like in danger there? Do you
no.
ever feel?
The Yucatan is completely different than the rest of Mexico. It's like its own like country, really. They actually wanted to separate from Mexico at one time and become their own country. But Mexico said, don't even try it.
Really?
Yeah. So it's really much different there, much more chilled out, less – there's no murders. There's nothing there. There's no
really?
Violence. Yeah. I live in the safest city in all of Mexico. It's like we have no violence or anything.
No
nothing.
Kidding.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I saw one thing in the news about someone lit up a building on fire. Like
in
a
the
bar.
Yucatan?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
very rare.
Yeah, it must be rare because it was the only time I ever heard about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I mean, it happens all the time in the rest of Mexico because it's completely out of control. If they legalized marijuana, we would, you know, I'm sure.
You know Mexico has quietly decriminalized all drugs.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is very interesting, and they're smart.
Yeah.
It's a very smart country. The government there is actually a little ahead of ours, I think.
Really?
Yes, in a lot of ways. I mean, they already – gay marriage was way legal a long time ago, way before us.
When was it legal?
I don't know how you feel about that, but, you know, it's like so stupid that we're fighting about who cares who gets married.
It's a distraction. I think it's a beach ball.
Completely.
I think it's a beach ball they yes. toss up and you sort of have to swat.
Yeah,
you know, it comes
exactly.
your way. Whether you argue pro or con, the important thing is to never resolve it.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
I told the story in the podcast before, but I lived in San Francisco from age 7 to 11,
uh-huh.
and my next-door neighbors were these crazy gay guys used to get naked with my aunt. They'd smoke weed and play bongos.
Awesome.
So I was around you know,
yeah.
gay people at a very early age.
Right.
And then when I was 11, we moved to Florida, which is like the polar opposite of San Francisco. And all of a sudden, I had this friend, my friend Candy, and his dad was going crazy. His dad had a newspaper. He's like, I can't fucking believe this shit. He slams the paper down, and we were like, what's going on? He's like, these fucking queers want to get married.
Right.
And it was, right. to him, it was something like that was infuriating.
Right.
It was really infuriating. And I remember thinking at 11, I'm like, you fucking baby. Like, what do you care? Like, why would you care?
That's interesting.
Like, it doesn't make any sense that you would get angry. Like, how does that even affect you?
How does it affect them? How does it affect people?
It affects people because it's a germ that gets planted into the culture. The idea that it's a problem gets planted in the culture. And then it just becomes something that people bring up and they want to think about their own real problems.
There we go again, right?
It's the same kind of thing.
Same thing. Everything is everybody else.
Yeah, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. I mean, the reality of gay dudes is just like the reality of dudes. There are nice dudes and there's dudes who will lie to you and try to fuck you.
Clearly.
And that's – I used to work out at Gold's Gym when I was on news radio and I've always said that I felt like a tasty morsel of gay stew.
Did you ever use the toilet? I bet you didn't.
I probably did. I'm pretty gangster. I get in there. But it's all gay guys. Like, it's
yeah.
probably 80% gay guys.
Yeah.
And they're grunting and sweating. Yeah. And it's a very sexual environment.
Completely.
You know, and for a lot of people, that's a horrifying place to go. You know, But
a lot of gyms are like that, though, and they're all like regular way, dudes. Right?
If you're a girl,
they're grunting, even if they're straight dudes. Yeah. But it's still very sexual in this kind of way we don't really talk about.
And by the way, you should use "straight" in air quotes.
Straight,
right? Because there's a lot of those bodybuilder dudes would be happy to suck a cock if they were sure you could keep a secret.
Oh, I see them all the time on there. Yeah, are you kidding me?
Yeah, my friend Rodney is gay. He was always telling me about how many he would do straight. How many straight guys have let him blow him.
Yeah, because that's not gay.
It's not gay. We just barely pay attention. Yeah. Barely even know what's going on. whatever.
If he doesn't come in your mouth, it's all cool.
Yeah. As long as you come in his mouth, right. It's like it's a wash. It's a push.
Totally.
Yeah. But dudes are creepers. Dudes, period.
Look, I'm telling you, I used to be a woman and I became a man. And I'm telling you, I think differently. I react differently. My sexual fantasies are differently. And I get it now. I get why men are pigs. It's totally testosterone.
Yeah, testosterone is what created rape. Testosterone created war, pillaging.
Everything.
All the above.
Everything.
And you know, this is like this thing that I'm doing in my act right now about how the greatest warriors throughout history were gay. This is what a lot of people don't realize in today's day and age where there's a separation between, gay and straight people, that there's these sick gay people, and then there's these straight people that are just living by God's way and that, we got to keep these gay people from marrying. Like, everything that happened that got us into the 21st century involved gay warriors.
Right. That's awesome.
Spartans, Romans,
so awesome.
Athenians, samurais, everyone was gay. And that's one of those weird, regardless of if you're gay or not, if you hate gay people, you literally have to hate. I mean, not saying that, a lot of the shit that the Romans and the Spartans, they did some horrible, ruthless, evil, fucking murderous shit. However, that's what sort of got people into the 21st century.
Right.
I mean, they were gay people. That's a fact.
But it's so weird to me that people are so concerned. It's their sexual preference. Mm-hmm. That's all it's based on. So, I don't really care who you fuck. Why do you care who I fuck?
Exactly.
It's basically that simple, really.
And that's what it should be, right?
But I think more men are weirded out by it than women are,
scared.
To be honest with you. Yeah.
It's scared. It's being
scared. Yeah,
scared
because they might be attracted or might, you know what I mean? And so when I came along and I have a pussy, so guys were attracted to me, but not sure,
baffled.
Straight guys and gay guys, and they're confused, what does that mean? Am I gay? Or no, I'm not gay because he has a pussy, so that doesn't make me, I'm like, dude, it doesn't make you anything but horny, just relax. It's not really a big fucking deal. But guys are they're always thinking, how can I not, if I'm attracted to that, am I gay or am I straight?
Well, even that statement, it doesn't make anything horny.
Yeah.
Relax. That's a guy statement.
It's a guy statement.
Yeah.
A girl would never say that.
No, they would go,
never.
Well, you have to think about your emotions. What do you have invested in this? I read something. I tried to read it. I blacked out from irony and logic halfway into it. But it was the male feminist guide to dating a woman.
Oh, my God.
And some guy wrote this fucking TLDR, too long, didn't read. Massive multi fucking step way to be a male feminist and date women, and how to approach each and every scenario like the biggest pussy whoop bitch on the planet. Just and not even
that's not
real.
Cool, because not all women are the same. Some
exactly.
women like to actually be like dudes and just go have sex, and it's not really a big deal, and we have to be emotional. Some girls are like that, by the
There's
way.
A lot of girls like
yeah,
that.
They don't
the
really
way.
Want to have all that emotional stuff, though. Whatever.
It was so specific. It was so specific as to how you should deal with each and every situation, and how you should call after sex and make sure that it was okay, and where we're standing, and I want to let you know how I feel, and do you know that is the easiest way to get a chick to fucking never call you again.
She'd
be like, you needy bitch. And I guarantee you the guy who wrote that has no fucking
girl,
idea what it's
right
like
on.
To keep a girl in his life.
But where does he think he knows that from?
Because he probably has some dominant female
yes.
voice in his life that he's trying to placate,
yes.
some she-demon that controls his testicle strings, and he wants to write to appease her.
Yeah.
Look, I've written something in tribute to your vagina. And he gets to read it out. And look, I'm the most sensitive man who's ever lived. I'm more sensitive than a woman. I see your sensitivity coming, and I check it with double sensitivity.
I totally know those guys.
Of course
actually.
You do. The internet mocks them. They're called white knights, and they
white
should be.
Knights.
They should be mocked. TikTok.
Are they called white knights?
Yes. Just because you can write a blog doesn't mean it's right, you fucks.
Right.
You crazy assholes.
Well, that's the internet, right? Yeah. There
when
we go.
Electricity goes off, you will starve to death. You will not make it.
Right.
You do not have.
I was married to a dominatrix. It's those guys. I know them. Like, it's a whole nother world, dude.
What's that like?
Very strange. Like, really strange. Like, you can't even imagine the guys that. You know, it's all good. It's consensual. It's their trip.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of those kind of guys that are very into that.
Well, I have a buddy. My buddy Jim Norton loves that shit. And we were at a restaurant once in Austin, Texas. And this nice gal came over to the table, started talking to us because she knew that he was into that. And she's a dominatrix. So she started talking dominatrix talk.
Right.
And then she was very friendly. So she was telling us, like, what, you know, kind of clients she has. Right. And without revealing their names, of course. But she was saying she deals with a lot of, like, really powerful businessmen. They
exactly.
get to run shit all day. But then at the end of the day, it's, you know, what do you want me to do, mommy?
Oh,
yes,
totally.
Mommy. Yes, mommy. They call her mommy.
Okay, that's the one boundary I have is the baby play. I'm only to everything else. But, like, baby can't deal with the adult baby.
I don't even think they were going with baby. I think they were going with, like, complete weak man who lives at home with his mom, who screams at him all the time and tells him what to do.
Right.
Like, it was like he wanted to be humiliated.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Piss in his mouth.
Oh, completely.
Yeah, all
that's
that.
A big one. And also, like, financial domination, that's also a big one.
Really?
Where they, like, she'll be like, bring $3,000 with you in cash, all 20s. And he shows up with $3,000, all 20s, and she goes, give it to me.
Wow.
And she takes it from him, and that's, like, the scene.
That's
like, I'm like, that's a good job.
You know what? It makes sense. It makes sense.
It totally does.
It takes everything to make this thing work. There's yin and yang. There's plus and minus.
Yes.
There's every fucking little puzzle piece fits in together.
Yes. And imagine if you have the job of a, you know, corporate CEO and you have to stress out all day long. I mean, that's hardcore.
Yeah.
You want to just go have a spanking after that.
I couldn't even imagine. And to have millions and millions of dollars on the line, every decision that you make every day.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine. I mean, I've tried, you know, running a television show, and it's fucking, and that's just entertainment.
Imagine. Yeah,
that's
right.
Silly and temporary, you know, 6 episodes, and you know it's over at the end, and still you're freaking out.
The stress
out.
Is, like, totally insane.
It breaks your brain.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel way different when I'm stressed. My decision-making's not so good. I'm too edgy. I'll, like, bark when I shouldn't. I won't think things through. It's like, it's just you're constantly
dealing
with
how do you keep yourself calm? And how do you keep yourself calm and focused?
Furious exercise.
Ah,
it's the only thing that gets it out of me.
Yeah.
It has to be, like, heavy bag. Like, just beat the shit out of a bag. Do some kettlebell workouts. Run up a hill. Like, sprint up hills.
Right.
For me, it has to be something where I'm fighting life or death. Because
I
think that those feelings of stress that you get, those are life, death, struggle type things. Because it's incredibly stressful. You know, and I think those, even if it's like something as silly as a television show, if it's important to you, you're going to get an intense amount of, like, energy focused on that. And I don't, at least my body doesn't know what the fuck is going on in those scenarios. It thinks, like, we're going to have to fucking fight with swords or run from dragons or we got to do some shit, man.
Right.
And so unless I blow it out, unless I just blow it out to the point where my heart feels like it's going to rip out of my chest.
Right.
Then I don't ever calm down.
Yeah, no, I think I can relate to that totally. I feel so much more calm after I had a hardcore workout.
Well, your body is designed, you know, our bodies, the DNA of our bodies is from an animal that was running from jaguars 100,000 years ago, 200,000 years ago, a million years ago. There's the same echoes of that primal time when we were so vulnerable and surrounded by predators at all times, including human predators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that shit is just, it's in our system still. And
well,
to
what about
pretend
women?
It's not. Women had to run too. Women had to fight too. Women had to stay alive. Women had to protect their babies.
Right.
I mean, they didn't have to do it as much or often. And of course, the plus and the minus of testosterone is the minus is, I mean, they're actually proven that men with larger testicles make shittier fathers.
Oh yeah, I did read that recently.
It's incredible.
Yes. It is incredible.
It's incredible. They've also proven that men with larger testicles are around women who are more promiscuous. And the more promiscuous the women, the larger the testicles of the men in the community will have.
Oh, wow.
Because they produce more testosterone. So they'll be more crazy.
Exactly.
And they'll be less likely to stick around and raise their children. Whereas women who have much less testosterone, they will raise the children. It's almost like nature sets you up if you're going to be nurture, you got to be understanding and peaceful. You want to be a calm thing. You want to be a thing that doesn't have this fucking ready to all the time, ready to go, you know, and men in that high pressure, high stress situation, like, you know, in the jungle or something like that, are ready to go. You got to protect. You got to defend. You got to hunt. You got to, the things have to be done at a split second notice.
Right.
And that's all the testosterone. It's kind of, see, this weird yin and yang of
it
life.
It totally is. And I noticed for myself, though, I calmed. I used to be very much like that before I started taking testosterone. And when I took the testosterone, I, like, became a much calmer, more focused, more happy person than I did when I just had estrogen in my body.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, completely. Where people, you know, use that roid rage thing, which is all complete total bullshit.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, I've seen it. You have seen it? Yeah, I've seen it. Without a doubt, 100%. When men put too much testosterone.
But they have to be taking a huge amount of testosterone.
It's easy to do, though. If you're around men who want to be great big bodybuilders, there's only one way to do that. You have to jack yourself up way above the limits.
Right.
You know, and I've seen people just completely lose their mind where they're like animals. They're like, it's like being around a gorilla because they're just juiced up to the gills. They just.
But they must be taking like an extraordinary amount of.
I'm sure.
Like 50 million tons of. Whatever it is.
I don't think it's that much, but I know what you're saying. Yeah, well, that's – if you see, like, that's the dirt – it's not the dirty little secret. It's the dirty, obvious secret of bodybuilding.
Right.
If you see one of those guys, those enormous guys that doesn't make any sense, the reason why it doesn't make any sense is because you know in your head – you have, like, a spectrum in your head. Okay, well, if you're a man and you have testosterone and you lift weights like a crazy fiend, you can get about that big.
Right.
Maybe that big if you got super special genetics. But what's this? Around the circle 4 or 5 times.
Right.
Like, you know, remember those things at the carnival where you hit and the bell goes up, ding, and it rings the bell? These motherfuckers shot it to the moon. Like, they're so big. It doesn't even make sense. Like, it's not possible to get there without drugs. The sport literally cannot exist.
But don't they, like, it doesn't make sense to me, the whole professional bodybuilding thing, because people are denying taking the steroids. Mm.
They have to, though, for those sponsor companies. Like, they get their money.
Don't they test you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, they probably do. But guys can get around it. If they test you, it's ridiculous. That's the reason why the NBA doesn't test for weed.
The NBA doesn't test for weed?
No. I think people have been popped for it somehow or another, but very rarely. And the reason is the players' union knows that a giant percentage of those dudes are on weed.
Smoking,
because smoking weed makes you sensitive to space and distances and stuff. Like, a lot of pool players smoke weed.
Oh, wow.
A lot of basketball players love to smoke weed. It helps your sensitivity.
While they're playing?
Right before they play. Yeah.
Oh, I could never do that. I would be like,
I bet you could, though. I bet you could.
No,
if you were a giant black dude and you were good at basketball.
Actually, in my last life.
Yeah, they love to smoke weed and
love
play
this
basketball.
Coffee, by the way. It's
really awesome,
good.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
bulletproof
it's super
good. Coffee. When did you know that you like the concept of gender identity to someone who doesn't struggle with it is it's one of those things where you try to wrap your head around it, you try to understand it, but you never. It's like, why we say that a man and woman never really understand each other. They just sort of they get this thing where they accept that this is how you are and this is how I'll never understand what it's like to want a baby in my body. I never understand what it's like to have my period. I'll never get it. I'll never understand what it's like in any way.
No, you won't.
And being a woman and then feeling like you're in the wrong sex.
Yeah.
What is that like? And when did you realize it?
It's imagine if you felt all of a sudden one day you started saying, I feel like a girl. It would freak you out.
Yeah.
It would freak you out.
Oh, without a doubt.
Without a doubt. I can just tell you most of my life I felt that way. But my parents did raise me like a boy, even though I was a little girl. They completely raised me like a boy because I was very much of a tomboy. You know, tomboys are okay. A girl who looks like a little boy and, you know, you're 10 and you dress like a little boy, that's okay in this country. Nobody freaks out on that. It's when you start reaching, you know, puberty, and I started growing breasts, and then I started, you know, getting my period. That's when everything shifted. It was totally okay in my childhood, but then people are like, you need to start treating her like her, not like he. And my parents were completely freaked out because they always just, it was like, okay, it was never an issue. because I was just like a tomboy. And then when that happened, I think that's when all, like, basically everything, all hell broke loose, you know?
Was it your folks that had the issue or the community that had the issue, your neighborhood?
The community, their friends kept saying, you got to stop calling her he and by the boy name. It's a girl. You know what I mean? And I,
why the fuck do they care?
What? Because why can't they just gender is that? Such a freaky, weird thing for people. In the world, basically, a man is this and a woman is that. That your penis makes you a man and your vagina makes you a woman. That's just black and white for most people in the whole wide world. That's just how it works.
Uh-huh.
And so basically that's not true because it's really how you feel inside. Your outer presence is just the shell of your soul and your being. Really. I mean, it's to me it's that simple. But of course people don't get it because people always take things at face value. They don't tend to get to know you. Or I mean, if I'm sitting right in front of you now, would you say that I am a woman?
No. No, right. I wouldn't say you're a woman.
Thank
you have a beard.
you're yoked, out of my beard.
You're
dude.
Yoked and you have a beard. Yeah, no, but you're basically a man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem.
That's a big compliment from me. But you know what I'm saying? Like, the minute someone finds out that I have a pussy, it's like, no, you're a girl.
Well, you know what? I think one day we're going to have a pill. And you're just going to be able to be a giraffe for a day. You
that
know?
Would be
I mean,
pretty
I
awesome.
Really, I really think that. I think that they're going to be able to manipulate the human body to an extent where it'll be unrecognizable.
Right.
I think we're going to be able to manipulate our genes to be look like Dr. Manhattan or something like
totally.
That.
Totally.
I don't think it's – I think the human frame is right now is something that we feel like is completely outside of the realm of control. But I think that's really temporary, just as temporary as – we didn't think we were ever going to be able to communicate with somebody in real time in Australia 150,000 years ago.
Right, right.
You know, but today, it's nothing. And that's exactly what it's going to be like, whether it's 150 years from now or whatever. Your body's no longer going to define you. You're going to be able to be whatever you want.
Exactly.
And people are going to be able to switch back and forth.
Which
from
would be
sex
really
to
cool.
Sex. Yeah, like this month I'm a girl.
Right.
Next month I'm a guy. I want to be a
black
guy.
That's already happening, you know. People are already doing the gender queer thing where they're not saying I'm male or female. And then there's like this new kind of thing called they, where they don't want to identify as male or female. And they're just they.
They're just they?
Yeah.
That's
a hard
Jesus
one.
Christ. That's awesome.
That's
I like that.
I have a friend who's a they. So every time I see her, she used to be a her, but now she's a they. She always has to correct me because I'm always like saying her or she. And, she's
and so
like,
how
no,
do you
–
what is the pronoun for that?
It's they.
Hmm.
I know. It doesn't make any sense.
Hmm.
Because it's not them.
Right.
So
you don't ever say he. You don't ever say
you don't
she.
You say they.
As an individual, as a they?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Try it. Wrap your
head
around
going
that
deep.
One.
They just need too much work. They need too much goddamn attention.
Well,
there's a
I'm
lot
not.
Of that
it's
too.
All the like all these labels and things that people are so obsessed with, right? Like,
that's a real problem.
It's a real problem because now it's not LGBT. It's now it's QIA, queer, intersexed,
and they
and
T.
Now we have to add a T. You're right.
Add a T.
Yeah, you see
what
I mean?
What is queer? What's the difference?
Queer is more based on your, I think, your sexuality and how, and actually it kind of can encompass your gender. So it's more of an all-encompassing fluidity with your gender and sexuality where you're not necessarily saying I'm a he and I'm gay. You might be a she and straight this day, but tomorrow you want to be a man and gay.
People are
day.
So specific.
I'm even getting all like I'm getting, right. Even me, I'm just like I know. I'm just a man, dude. I don't know.
People are so specific.
That's what I'm saying. Is getting a little bit okay. Here's the deal with my education. That's why I always just sort of try to make it as easy as possible for people because I don't really go to that level at this point. I want you first to understand that gender is complex, but at the same time, it's not. It's really how you feel as a person, and that people are understanding that you know I can be whoever I want to be, and it's okay. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. People are starting to be more open-minded about it. They are, and it's really important that people understand that it's going to evolve whether you like it or not. It's
happening. Well, gender's complex, but for some people, they don't want it to ever be complex because one of the things that's admirable about a man is a man who doesn't worry. What's admirable about a man is a man who's like fucking silent Clint Eastwood in the movies type, doesn't give a fuck, is never thinking about sucking dicks, just out there trying to shoot people. And, you know, like without a care in the world and keeps his heartbeat a steady 60 per minute, you know, never really freaks out. That's a part of being a man is being sure of yourself.
Right.
And if you're unsure of your sexuality, you know, you're a vulnerable animal.
But also, I've learned to be very vulnerable. And, you know, I do a lot of public speaking, and I talk about my childhood and my life. And I had a lot of stuff happen to me. And, you know, I committed, tried to commit suicide many times, and I just hated my life, and I was a total nightmare. And I get vulnerable when I speak, and I have cried in public like that. And actually, it feels really good to go there sometimes, because – and that doesn't make me feel any less of a man. I'm a very, very confident, very sure of myself man. But to be vulnerable sometimes lets people understand your story a lot more and lets them come into your life without feeling that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being vulnerable. It's a silly idea.
And especially for men. Really, I'm telling you, especially for men. A lot of us men really feel like we're not allowed to go there because it's not, you're not a man if you let yourself be. And that's totally bullshit.
Well, it is and it isn't. It isn't if you're being a bitch, okay? If you're crying for no fucking reason.
No,
that's the problem. There's some people that cry for no reason, like they get a flat tire. I'm a fucking flat tire. I can't believe this shit. You're being a bitch.
Right, okay.
There's a difference
between
that and expressing love or talking about your childhood
or
and
your
dark
are,
moments
yeah.
or your feelings.
Yeah.
But if you're crying over your flat,
you're
a bitch.
Yeah, I'm driving by dude.
There's a lot of that, though. It's like it's important to differentiate
you're right.
the difference between a person who's vulnerable because they're honest about their emotions and passionate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're passionate, like, dude, I cry easy, man. Mm-hmm. I cry. I'll cry at a good commercial.
Uh-huh.
I'll cry in certain songs. There's songs that hit me, and I start crying.
Right.
You know, movies. I hate depressing movies because I cry like a little bitch. You know, because I'm a very passionate person.
No,
so when I get locked into anything, like if I'm involved in anyone's art, whether it's a song or a movie or anything, where you're painting this picture of torture or torment, and I can relate to that character, it's hard. You know, you feel it. That's not.
But not all guys go there, and you know that.
Those are weak guys. Those are actually the weak guys.
I think you're right.
Yeah, they're scared.
Yes.
They're fake scared.
Yes.
And if you don't understand what real fear is, when you actually face it, if you're constantly like hiding from like your actual emotions and pretending you're not scared when you actually are vulnerable, then when you really are in danger, you're not going to know what the fuck to do.
Right.
Because you don't know yourself.
Right.
You don't know what you really are capable of. You don't know who you really are. So when the chips pile up, you're going to just piss your pants and fall apart.
But men are taught that. We're taught that from an early age. Men are not. I really think so.
Why?
Bitches
for dads. There's a lot of dudes out there that are just bitches. They just fuck some chick, get her pregnant, and then they have a kid.
Right,
and that kid grows up with a bitch for a dad.
Right.
That's super common.
Yeah, it is really common.
I had a friend who had a fucking tremendous bitch for a dad. His dad would whine so much, I would want to smack him in front of my friend. I would go over, and then the guy would, he was always so confused, like, I don't know what to do. You forgot to stop listening to your fucking dad, all
right?
That's the first thing you got to do.
Right.
Look at that guy. If you didn't know that guy, you'd think that guy's a fucking idiot.
Right.
Okay? He cries over nothing. He's constantly whining. He's always negative. That guy's a bitch. You need to get the fuck out of that toxic environment the first chance you get.
Right.
You know, and that kind of shit growing up, this guy had no confidence about anything.
Wow.
He was just everything. He didn't know what he liked. He didn't know what to do. He had to ask everybody before he did anything. He had to ask your opinion. He didn't even know who the fuck he was.
Right.
He was never shown that it was possible to know who the fuck you were. He was imitating this scared, terrified thing in his house. And it took until he separated from him and started having some milestones of his own, graduating high school, graduating college, getting a degree, falling in love, having a relationship, going into business, that he started becoming a man.
Right.
But he had to break away from this bitch mold that he grew up in.
Well, I think, again, parenting is also a very difficult situation, right?
Hugely.
People are just thrown into parenting, and there is no book, real. I mean, there are books, but, you know, still a lot of times people are just thrown into it.
Yeah.
There's no skill of how to raise my child or how to teach. You learn that from your own parents and your own parents and your – you know what I mean? It's just like this long – I was lucky. My dad actually was very, really hardcore. He was a professional athlete. He was very focused. He was very much like that old school kind of guy. But I think it actually helped me to become a really good man because I really learned how to focus and be the person that I wanted to be from that.
Well, sure. Of course it does. I mean, that's exactly what we were saying. If you want to be a man, you follow someone who was a man. And you wanted to be a man.
Totally.
I mean, it's a perfect example. It's really difficult because life, you do not start out in a neutral point.
Uh-huh,
no one
right.
starts out at zero.
Right.
Some of us start out at minus 30.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us start out at plus 100, and sometimes the plus 100 people are fucked because everything's too goddamn easy.
Right.
And the minus 30 people, and not saying me, I was probably like minus 5. The minus 30 people that come from a dark background a lot of times have this massive amount of expression inside of them because of that.
Right.
And if they can sort it out, it's almost like they have more horsepower.
Right.
You know, their passion, like some of the great artists as far as music, have tortured background, tortured childhoods. And, you know, it allows them to express themselves in this intense, powerful way that someone who grew up in Bel Air isn't capable of doing.
Exactly.
Like, when you remember that song, Friday, Friday?
Yes.
Remember that shit? The reason why people were so mad at that was because they knew that this bitch hadn't suffered at all. Like, you're not allowed to sing. You know, when you listen to, like, you listen to some old school blues, some Robert Johnson, you listen to, you like, this motherfucker was hot. They didn't have air conditioning. They were sitting out there on the porch.
Right.
He was constantly being persecuted by white people.
Right.
He was, women were trying to have his babies, trying to get the fuck out of town and stay on the road. Like, you felt everything in that guy's voice.
Right.
That's the appeal of blues in the first place.
Totally. I live in New Orleans.
But isn't that fucked? It's almost like you have to like have a shit childhood to become an interesting person.
Well, I didn't have a shit childhood. I had a shit middle part of my life, which actually did help me. I always look at that part, and I always remember being homeless, doing prostitution on the streets. Like, all of that really made me be the person as well who I am.
What time did that start, the shit part?
That was like later, like in my mid-20s. You know, I was a professional model at one time as a woman, and I traveled around Europe, and then I just couldn't do it anymore because I was doing so much cocaine and drinking and partying like mad, dude, like crazy mad, and I just crashed.
You said, though, that when you were just getting your period and you were young, that's when people started giving you a hard time.
Yeah.
Really, that wasn't a bad time in your life, though?
Well, yeah, I was in high school still, and so then, you know, I started having to deal with the high school thing, and like, you know, I'm becoming a girl, and I'm attracted to girls, you know, and I was a lesbian, I guess, but I felt like a guy, and this was, you know, 30 or so more years ago.
Right.
And they didn't even talk about that kind of stuff when I was going to high school, so a lot of stuff was going on for me. I started smoking weed, not that that's a bad thing, but when you're not focused and you start doing those kind of things, it just continues to escalate to hardcore drinking, then the cocaine, then everything just started escalating for me, and I got totally out of control for like, since 16 to like maybe 28, I was completely out of control.
Well, you were self-medicating.
Completely, dude.
Yeah, like, there's a big difference, right, between that and enjoying a little whiskey with amongst friends.
Oh, completely. You know? I'm totally cool with all of that. Like, I don't drink, but for me, it's just that I don't drink.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm sober or do that. I just don't drink, dude.
Right.
It doesn't work for me.
You don't like it.
It doesn't work for
me. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that either, right?
Yeah.
That thing, though, about self-medicating, so common amongst kids that don't feel comfortable with who they are.
Exactly.
They just decide to just plunge themselves into a bottle or into
a pill bottle.
Or
because we also reinforce that in society, saying, yeah, you're right, you can't be gay. It's completely not okay. Or it's weird that you feel like a girl, or it's weird that you feel like a boy. So we as a society reinforce those negative feelings constantly. You just feel shitty about yourself. And you're like, there is no out for me. There's no out. What am I going to do? I cannot live as a woman anymore. The next option is to kill myself. That's why so many kids try to commit suicide now, because they just feel no way out of the situation.
You felt like you needed to add hormones to your life in order to complete your vision of who you are?
Well, I didn't even know I could do that. I had my change over 21 years ago when there was no internet, really. There was no doctors. I was the first trans man, a doctor in Los Angeles. He'd never even met a guy like me before. Same with my chest surgery, all of that. These guys were like, okay, but you're basically going to be our guinea pig. I mean, it didn't even exist. But I knew I needed to change. And so I was willing to take that. Always in the back of my head, it's, if it didn't work, I'm just going to kill myself. I mean, really, think about how crazy that is. That was always my option. I'm going to try this. If it doesn't work, I'm just going to kill myself, because that's how life-threatening it was. It was like I had to do it. It was life or death for me.
And this was something that built up over time, or was this—
Totally.
So you had reached a point when you were in your 20s, when you were out of control and partying and drinking. You were trying to avoid yourself.
Completely.
And then once you finally faced yourself, you're like, okay, I either have to do something about this.
Yes.
Or let's see what's next.
Done. Or I'm done. You know, I'm done. I can't continue to have people confront me as a woman. You know, I was like a dyke, you know, short hair. And then people would, you know, say shit, throw stuff at me on the street. You dyke, we're going to kick your ass. Like, people used to follow me and try to fight. I was a total fighter, dude. But, you know, like, that was my life. And it was like, you get tired of that. You get really tired of constantly having to fight people's negativity towards you constantly. And you're like, I don't want to be this way anymore.
Was it men that would
men,
be aggressive?
Men,
always?
Men, men.
Never women.
Always, never women. Always men following me, throwing shit at me, trying to fight me, like, you know, jumping me, three or four guys jumping me. Like,
that's insane.
Out of nowhere, dude.
Where was this at?
L.A., West Hollywood, those kind of things. Wow. Like gay bashing, basically.
I didn't know that women face it that often.
Oh, totally. Especially when you look like a little boy, but they could tell you're a girl. You know what I mean? It was like, yeah, it was a nightmare for me. It was like, I'm really lucky to be where I am today because really, I should be dead. So I really should be dead in so many aspects of my life. I should just not be here.
So you went to a doctor and you had this idea in your head, like, look, there's got to be a way.
Yeah, totally. I had seen a documentary with a woman who changed to a man. It was from Europe or something. And I'm like, how come nobody told me this is possible? Like nobody, even therapists or psychologists or psychiatrists. When I went to tell a psychiatrist, I feel like a man. And she was like, well, you're just a very male-identified female. What the fuck is that? I feel like a man.
Yeah.
She didn't even have the lingo to like come back at me. Like, you know what, Buck? You can have a sex change. Like, never did anybody say that to me.
So how do you find, like, if someone doesn't gender identify with being a male and they're,
right.
you know, what do you do? Say if you're a man and you want to become a woman or right. a woman and you want to become a man, what's the steps you
now
take?
You fucking Google it, right?
Now you do, right?
Now, then I had to go to a bookstore and find this old book and find a doctor in the back that was like for transgender, for women, for men becoming women. They didn't even have anything for guys like me. And I found this book. I mean, I was like determined to figure out how to do this. And I called this doctor in Hollywood here and he's like, well, I never worked with a woman who wants to become a man, but why don't you come in? And he saved my life. And he's like, you'll be my guinea pig. Figure out.
That's fascinating that there were so many women that
yes.
became women from men, but
yes.
no that became men
who
from
were
women.
Yeah, it's a new movement now. There's a lot more happening, but
is it you? Did you kickstart it?
No, it's been happening, but I think I did kind of kickstart it.
Take a little credit.
A little
why not? So you went to this doctor, and then so he says you're going to be his guinea pig.
Yep.
And how does he?
He starts giving me very small doses of testosterone. Very, you would laugh like teeny weeny, right? Mm-hmm. And then he just checks me out, makes sure everything's cool. Within 6 months, he has me up to 1 cc of testosterone. Teaches me how to inject it myself.
1 cc, a whole cc,
a whole cc,
and a week.
Every 2 weeks.
Jesus Christ, that's a lot.
You think so?
Yeah.
And then 6 months later, he's like, I want to teach you how to do it yourself so that you can go on with your life. And you know, what an amazing man, really.
Yeah.
He was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
He taught me, and then I went on, and it was like, I was like reborn. I was reborn. It like literally changed, it like physically and mentally changed my life.
Do you get testosterone in Mexico?
Yes.
Now, do you worry that it might be bullshit?
No, it's
cooking
not.
Cooking oil or something? No. They might fuck you?
No, dude, it's real. No? I use Sustanon right now.
So you, because Mexican pharmaceutical drugs, you can basically get whatever the fuck you want
over
there, right?
You can get whatever you want.
That's kind of cool.
Dude, I just
call
them.
I'm not
the
happy
phone.
About the way Mexico, like the drug war
yeah,
is chaos,
lame.
And it's really yeah. sad. You see all the violence over there, and
yeah.
it's very depressing. However, there's a certain amount of freedom that comes to having a shit government that's barely in control of its populace.
But they're getting their shit together, dude. But no,
sort
you just
of.
Call a pharmacy and then they deliver it to your house for free.
They deliver it.
Yeah, dude. I like
wow.
a pound of like, you know.
Wow. You can basically self-medicate, do
yeah,
whatever
totally.
The fuck you want.
I'm 21 years into it. I completely know what I'm doing now. It's not that I...
That's fascinating.
Feel. And yeah, and I inject myself, and my life just started to change. And then I decided I needed to get my breasts removed. Even though they weren't big, I needed to have a male chest. I mean, that was always my ultimate thing, was to be able
right.
to take my shirt off. I mean, that's like such a guy thing. You want
mm-hmm.
to walk around with your shirt off. And I found a doctor who'd never worked with a guy like me, and he did it.
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating about Chaz Bono,
uh-huh.
is that there was photographs of Chaz walking on the beach after
right.
she became Chaz.
Right.
And he has these big scars
right.
under his breasts. But because of the fact that now he identifies as a man,
uh-huh.
in regular publications, they're showing him topless.
Right.
And I'm like,
good
that
point.
Is really interesting.
Yes.
Because you really can't have a problem with it. But if he was still a woman
yes.
before the sex change, then it would be a real issue. The same nipples.
I know. You're right on, dude.
Shows you how fucking stupid we are.
Totally. Like,
so
there's
weird.
The same chest.
Yeah. Well, it's also, the internet has really flipped the script on what we're used to seeing, what we can see, what we can accept. I had never seen a man that had become a woman until you. So on my message board, I have a message board filled with freaks and savages.
Sure, you do.
And they fucking, they knew about you back in the
90s. Of course they did.
My website's been around since 98. I mean, I don't know when I was introduced to you on the website.
Years and years ago.
But that, you are just a, like a new piece in this new vision of the world. You know, there's new thing that exists that didn't exist when Father Knows Best was on the air, and, you know, the Twilight Zone was shocking. You know what I mean?
Totally. It's,
everything now is, there's the amount of information is so much larger.
Right.
The scope of the canvas,
right,
the size of the canvas of reality is so much larger. And you're a part of that. You're a part of that.
I think so. Well, because really what it comes down to is my genitals. And when I went to the world and said, you know what? I don't need to have a penis to be a man. I just went to the world and said, fuck you.
Yeah.
I did.
Well, there's a really interesting photo of you that's on my message board on this. There's a thread that someone put up about this particular conversation. And it's you like lounging back completely naked, smoking a cigar. And it's like for half your body, it's like the manliest shit possible. This yoked up dude smoking a cigar with a beard covered in tattoos. And there's a vagina. It's like, right. It's like, whoa.
Fucked you up.
Yeah. Your identity, you know, your idea of what a man is, like, is immediately challenged.
Yes.
And then it's all like, how do you feel about this? Because what exactly are you seeing here? You know, what is this? What bothers you? Does it, is this change your view of reality? You know,
that's awesome. I mean, I really feel honored to be able to do that to the world. It is. It's an honor in a way to like to really push the thought of what is this?
Yeah.
What is male and female and gay and straight? What are you?
Right. And what are the problems?
Exactly.
And why do they exist? Do they exist because someone is threatening you? Do they exist because you're threatened by it?
Right.
What exactly is the issue?
What is your, because now you have to look at yourself, because you before looked at me like a man, and then all of a sudden you see my vagina and you're like, oh, holy, and mostly it's males that do that, because, you know, men are pretty attached to their penis.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that understandably so, but that's just so, now I'm saying to you, you don't have to have that to be a man. It's really challenging your own identity in a way.
Yeah, it gets slippery. But it's the slippery thing is not even that, oh, that's a man too. It's like, what is the controversy? Like, not that he's unusual, not that he's unique, but what bothers people? What gets them angry? What is pissing people off?
They get angry, man.
You must get so much
hate. They want to kill me. I have to, like, have security sometimes when I go speak. Because people, oh, yeah, they're telling me they're going to kill me if I show up.
What kind of people?
Can you imagine?
What kind of people?
Oh, for example, Yale University. They were going to find, they were said, if you show up here, we will kill you.
Who said this? Students said
Students
this?
Students and alumni. And, of course, I had to report it. I mean, I didn't want to be like that bitch, right? I was like, bring it on. And then, you know, people are like, you better chill out, dude. You don't know. They might be there. So I had to report it to the people who brought me in. And they had 24-hour security the whole time I was there.
Well, you always have to be worried about that one fucking
wingnut, total wingnut.
Yeah, yeah. You never know.
You never know.
That's the broad spectrum.
But I deal with that all the time. I don't deal with it as much as I used to. I have to tell you that. People have become much more understanding and much more supportive. My fan base has grown tremendously in the last, I would say, 5 years. Just crazy.
What do you attribute that to?
I think listening to me and seeing that I'm just like a normal guy. It's not really a big deal. And telling you how amazing my life is and that I'm a positive person. And that all I want really is for people to be able to be themselves, whatever that means.
Do you think that it reflects a change in society as a whole?
Clearly, it has to be. I mean, people are opening up their minds and understanding that, yeah, you know, this person is happy. So why am I angry about it?
Right.
Right?
I think that the progressive ideas are way more mainstream than they've ever been in the past.
For sure.
Way more. And I think it's because of the internet, because the open dialogue the internet presents. Like, you realize, like, you know, there's a lot of these people, they're not really much different than you or I.
Right.
They're just like you or I. They're not evil. There's nothing wrong with them. They're just a different thing. They're this, you're that. You know, they like this kind of music. You think it sucks, but you like that kind of music.
Right.
And then, but there's so many commonalities that we sort of inform each other of because of the internet. You kind of go, well, wait a minute. What's our real problem here? Like, is it sexuality? Is it gender identification? Or are we just distracting ourselves with this nonsense?
Well, that's a very specific kind of person, though, because as you know, I mean, the internet is full of trolls for days. And those ones really are the ones who react and do huge and continue to make it very negative on the internet.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, of course, we have the people like you and your fans and the people who are willing to listen and talk about these kind of things. But then we have the other side that's so incredibly hateful and never wants this kind of thing to be accepted in the world.
Yeah, the trolls issue is a fascinating one.
Fascinating.
Because really, all it is unhappy people.
Yeah, yeah, clearly.
It's a huge sea of unhappy people saying shitty, mean things.
Oh, they're crazy.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that say, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, of course.
They have no life.
Well,
they're sitting at home.
And again, most of them don't mean a word they're saying.
Oh, no, I always say that, totally.
But there's a few that might.
There's a
few broken ones.
Totally.
Yeah. You know, and you have to protect yourself in those situations.
You have wing nuts after you? You must.
Yeah, I'm a friendly guy.
Nah.
That means you get along with.
You are, but so am I.
Yeah.
Except my vagina, though.
Yeah, the vagina thing fucks people up. They don't even know what I have. I might have a vagina, too. I've been faking the funk the whole time. Who knows? I think that the angry thing is also because of the lack of real interaction, because of the fact they're able to do it over the internet. There's no like social repercussions.
Right.
When you look at someone, you say something mean, like you have to be a psychopath. If someone's never done anything to you and you look at them, you say something mean and you see them react and you see it hurt their feelings and it doesn't bother you, you're a broken person. You're a sociopath.
Right.
There's something wrong with you.
Right.
But when you do it on the internet, it's like you can just like, oh, just say something shitty.
Yeah, and because you're removed from it.
Yes, you're completely removed from it.
Yeah.
The lack of – but I think that this is temporary. I really think this is like this crazy chaos before the age of enlightenment. I mean, I'm a big believer in progress, and I'm a big believer in utopian ideas, and to the point where it's unrealistic. Like I have some pretty unrealistic views of the possibilities of humanity.
But those are important views to have because I'm very much the same way. I believe that if we have – I'm a believer of energies first off. If I give off positive energy, I always get positive energy back.
I agree. I think that's huge.
If I came into this room right now with an attitude that was not like cool and I was just sitting here waiting for you to talk shit to me and you are going to have not as good as a – situation going on between us, I don't think right now. I think it would be because I'm coming in with that energy.
Yeah.
That negative, go ahead and say it to me, dude, energy.
Right.
Which a lot of people in my situation tend to have because they don't understand that you have to understand, people do not understand us. And when I come to explain to you the situation, I have to understand that you don't get it and you already have a preconceived notion about it and you're already judging me and that's okay. It's because you don't get it.
Uh-huh.
So I have to come to it with an understanding of that and an understanding that I need to now teach you. And the best way to teach somebody is to be happy about it and to let you have your feelings and then hopefully I can win you over with the fact that I'm just a happy dude and it's not
right.
Really a big, and you can say things to me. It doesn't hurt me because it's you don't understand.
Right.
That's
and
the most
they're not
going
to define you. They're not going to change who you are with their words either.
But if I'm angry at you and you're calling me like a freak or dude, that's totally freaky and weird. No, I understand that you think it's freaky and weird because it kind of is freaky and weird.
Right.
I totally get it. I'm not totally out of bounds with that. I completely understand that the man with the pussy is kind of weird and funny.
Well, you know, the anger thing where people want to kill you and the troll thing where they're hating. And I think all that is just misused potential. That's what I think.
Right.
I think the human mind is incredibly complex, but it doesn't come with an instruction manual. It doesn't come
right.
with you imagine if the human body was a vehicle that you had to learn how to use and how long you'd have to go to school before they would give you a license to operate a human
right.
body. I mean, Jesus right. Christ. If you were an ethereal being, if you were something that existed in thought only and the only way to manifest yourself in the real world was to get a license to use a body, you know, if the human body was just like a car.
Right.
You, Jesus Christ, you'd have to learn a lot of shit.
You would have to learn.
You'd have to, like, well, we have to find out how you're going to interact with the other humans.
Right.
So you got to understand cause and effect. You got to understand action, reaction. You got to understand the powerful benefits of positive energy.
Right.
You got to understand love. You got to understand insecurity.
Right.
You got to understand jealousy. You got to understand all these waters that need to be navigated before we let you in the stream of humanity.
Right.
And we don't. We just fucking take these all this potential and just go, get out of that fucking house, and we push them out into the river
of
the
world. That's a good point. And I think that's why a lot of those self-help books or people who teach those way of thinking are so huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, and I think people want to learn to be like that. Really, and the underlying part of it, people want to learn how to be calm and happy. And how does that person have that energy?
Yeah.
How do I get that?
It's turned to be a big benefit of this podcast. That's one of the big benefits that people always cite, is that they have a chance to see a perspective other than the one they've been told is the one they're supposed to follow.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, like, oh, I don't have to be a dick. Oh, I can, like, take personal responsibility. I can be nice to people.
Right.
I can look at this as some sort of a weird temporary situation. And the best case scenario is you have as many friends and loved ones, and you share great moments during this time period that you're conscious.
And that's a huge thing that you're doing, really, because you're changing the way you're changing that way and that way people think, and then those people go to other people.
Yes.
And then they say the same thing. So you're sort of like moving that positive energy along that totally line of people.
And it's only possible for me because I've got those ideas and that vibe and those good thoughts from other people online.
Exactly.
And it spreads. And you just got to learn what to focus on and what not to. And if I wanted to go online and just pay attention to all the people who are trolling me, I'd fucking run my head through a wall. I would be, if I only concentrated on them.
Exactly.
They're fucking everywhere. If you have any sort of an internet presence whatsoever or say anything controversial, which I have both, you're going to have a massive amount of people that want to just push your buttons.
Completely.
Potential. They're just potential that's misused almost universally. Because there's some people that disagree with me on a bunch of different ideas, and that's totally cool. And
it's totally cool.
And I expect it.
Of course.
And like one of the things that I always make sure to point out, in most situations, there's not a right or a wrong. Mm. In most situations, there's you think this, and I may agree with you, but I might disagree with you, and neither one of us is right.
Right.
It's just this is my perspective, and this is your perspective. And when people start approaching things like that, then you can kind of learn from other people's points of view.
Right.
And you go, I see why he thinks it sucks because of this, or I see why he loves that because of that.
Right.
But the real problem is when people want you to feel how they feel.
Right.
They feel like shit. They're hurting. They're hateful. They're just a mess. And they just want to just throw up shit all over you and just turn your life into the same kind of shit that they have.
No, I totally get that. And I get a lot of those haters, too.
Of course.
And they turn my words around and they say, Buck said this about trans women should do this.
Of course.
I never said that. Read the interview.
Yeah.
But I had to learn how to block them because I'll be honest, I did take it personally at one time.
And of course.
Like totally like, and then I was like, okay, well, wait a minute. It's not me. It's not my agenda. It's their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about what I do. And so then I just had to learn to completely remove myself from their situation.
I always say that people like that are like snake venom.
Yeah.
That you get a little bit of in your system and then you get immune. And then when the snake bites you, you don't die.
Right.
You know, you go, oh, I know what you're doing.
Exactly.
Snake poison.
You totally get it.
It's really just like that. And it's both on the side of the assholes, but also on the side of the progressives.
Uh-huh.
I see progressives going after each other with snake venom, accusing each other of crazy
shit. Because
of
what you said before, it's you want to put your agenda on someone else, and they have to, if they don't get it, and if they're not on board with you, then they're the bad person.
Yeah.
I don't understand people who don't understand what you just said. You have an opinion about it, and I have an opinion about it. And it's totally cool. I respect your opinion, and you respect my opinion. And then why can't we just leave it at that?
There's a lot of people that use the vehicle of discourse to try to hurt other people's opinions, hurt other people's feelings, and to score points.
Mm-hmm.
They'll, like, shit on people to score for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it a lot. And I'm not talking about someone making fun or using humor or like a Kanye West, Jimmy Kimmel type situation,
right,
which is totally warranted.
Right.
And I think in Jimmy Kimmel's defense, he's doing Kanye West a favor. Like, Kanye West needs to see how fucking ridiculous he looks.
Yeah, because he's not being cool about it. Totally.
He was being completely uncool in that interview and even less cool afterwards.
Right.
It reaffirmed why Jimmy Kimmel should have done that.
Exactly.
So I'm not talking about that, but I get so disturbed when I go online and people who are, whether they're feminists or whether they're skeptics or atheists, attacking each other, attacking people in the community, like coming out with reasons why this person's a rapist because he had sex with someone when they were drunk.
Right.
And everyone who does that's a rapist.
Right.
And they're also taking this weird moral high ground when they do that. They're getting brownie points.
Right.
They're getting social brownie points while they're doing it.
Right.
And you see it. It's transparent and disgusting. And it works.
It works.
You see it. You see them, like, people praising them. Thank you so much for
exposing
this. That's
why they do it.
Exactly.
It's exactly why they do it. It's
you know who PZ Myers is? Do you know this whole thing with Michael Shermer?
No.
It's fascinating shit. He's accusing this guy who's this very famous skeptic, Michael Shermer, of not even rape. The woman's saying that Michael Shermer put her in a position where she could not have she could not consent.
And what
it's
was
very
the
ambiguous. The assumption is she was drunk.
Okay.
Because he uses as corroborating evidence another woman's tale where she met him at a party and he made sure her glass was always full and she got drunker than she normally does.
Okay.
And she's literally using this to corroborate what he said, meaning that he got her drunk. Like
right.
Completely removing herself from any personal responsibility from actually drinking,
right.
And being an adult and getting drunk.
Right.
And somehow or another, like, corroborating the story of the other person that he got her into a position where she couldn't consent. It's weird sort of – there's this weird sort of feminist, skeptic language they use. Like they use privilege a lot.
Yeah, that's the new language. That's the new language, dude.
Privilege is a weird one, right?
Privilege is a weird one. I had to really learn that because I get checked on that all the time, dude. I'm now a privileged white man. I get checked on that all the
male
time.
Privilege,
male
white privilege.
Privilege. White privilege. Yeah. I get checked on
and they
all
use
time.
It to diffuse your arguments.
Oh, yes, they do.
They use it to diffuse your viewpoint. They use it to, and it's this weird fucking.
So are they saying he has male white privilege?
Yes.
And that discounts the fact. So she doesn't have to take any responsibility
exactly.
for it whatsoever. Yeah, I have to tell you that I disagree with that.
Well, everyone who you have sex
and now
with
people
is
are going
to
talk shit about me for days on the internet,
of
and
course.
I don't really fucking care because the situation is this. It takes two fucking people.
Yeah.
It does.
Well, so what they've taken a hard stance the other way, saying that everyone who has sex with anyone who's drunk is raping them, including women who have sex with drunk men. If you have sex with a drunk man,
so are you
and you're
raping
sober,
the man?
You're raping the man. Yes.
No man would ever admit that, though.
Of course not. Men were happy to get raped in that situation. it's so preposterous and it's so gross because it's a bunch of social retards. That's the reality. The reality is it's social retards.
Yes.
And first of all, you're ignoring the broad spectrum
right.
of alcoholic inebriation.
Exactly.
There's tipsy and then there's fucking
yes.
unconscious.
Yes.
Unconscious. That's rape. Just before unconscious,
so she wasn't unconscious.
That's rape. Three quarters before unconscious, still rape.
Okay.
Halfway to unconscious, pretty much rape. I mean, it gets less rapey
right.
as you get more
right.
sober. But the reality of, you know,
I'm not laughing about rape.
No,
I just want everybody to know that.
But it is true. I mean,
yeah.
I think the genius of the feminine agenda in this respect is almost like it's almost a side effect, and that genius is it forces the conversation because
which is important.
It is important.
Yes,
and people who get people fucked up and do things to their body,
fucking
they're
assholes,
cunts. They're
yes.
pieces of shit.
Totally,
whether it's a man or whether it's a woman.
I don't care.
Yes, and I think that there's a good in that this argument
yes.
gets discussed. But I don't buy the delivery man. I don't buy that PZ Myers guy. I think he's a creeper.
Yeah.
And I think the way he released that information
yeah.
with that, first of all, he's supposed to be a skeptic.
Uh-huh.
And the word skeptic, if you're a skeptic, you understand that the worst piece of evidence that you can possibly receive
right.
is personal experience.
Right.
Someone telling you what happened.
Right.
You don't know what they're saying. You don't know how much of what they're saying. And not only that, he didn't even get it secondhand. He didn't get it from the person. He got it secondhand.
Wow.
He got it from another person who told him.
Wow.
So it's nonsense.
Now it's getting totally blown out.
Yeah. Oh, totally blown out.
Yeah, totally blown
this
out.
This is why I could prove he's a creeper. Jamie, pull this up. Pull up PZ Myers isn't a feminist. There's this video of him at this conference making all these jokes with this woman saying that she's going to she would have to have sex with him if she got this card game wrong. If she got the wrong card. it's so gross and so transparent that I kind of love when you find a jewel like this.
Right.
Because you get to see, well, oh, this is a social retard.
Right.
This is a guy that sucked with women his whole life. And now he's in this position of power being a professor. So he decides that he's a male feminist. And so
does he say that?
Yes, he is. And so he bathes in the warm milk of the adulation of all the people that are super progressive that go along with him. Yet he stifles dissent in a very radical way in his forums. If you disagree, even if you disagree in a very polite and civil way with him outing this Michael Shermer guy as a supposed rapist for having sex with an intoxicated woman, even if you disagree in a civil way, he bans you from the forums.
Oh, well, and he's an idiot because now he's not open for discussion and it's all about him and his idea.
Massive censorship.
So wait, so he outed the guy who raped the girl?
Well, he outed the guy who he says was told had sex with a woman who could not consent. No one ever says rape, but he uses the word rape liberally after that. And it's a weird thing. He doesn't say the guy's a rapist, but in other posts, they talk about rape, and that is rape, and having sex with someone who's intoxicated is rape. But that the broad the black and white scale of that is so ridiculous. But it's also, why are you responsible when you drive, but you're not responsible when you fuck?
Right. No, that's a great point, man.
You don't know that you're too drunk to fuck?
Right. You know? Don't get yourself in that position. And I'm not saying rape is okay. Again, I need to say that.
Right.
But what is wrong, especially a lot of times, women put themselves in these – and I'm not saying they should be raped, but really, the world is fucked up. Yes. And getting drunk in a situation that could turn bad is not a smart choice.
Yeah, but I don't think you should ever blame the woman
for that. I don't even like to think that way.
Because
you have to be aware.
Yes,
I'm telling you. I can say that because I used to be a woman. You cannot put yourself in that situation.
I'm totally on the same page with you. However, I don't think that.
But it's not okay to rape. So I know it's a double. I'm kind of saying something really kind of roundabout, but really, be conscious of these things.
Yes.
Don't put yourself in an environment.
It's almost unrelated to this story.
It is. It's totally unrelated.
This guy, there's no excuse. If he did get someone fucked up and do something to their body, there's no excuse for that, right?
Right.
Whether or not this woman shouldn't have been there,
she
should have known better, it doesn't matter.
But we don't know what happened.
We don't know what happened. Exactly.
We don't know what happened.
And to call yourself a skeptic.
Yes.
And to put
a skeptic.
It's not what they're doing. Right. What they're doing is getting social brownie points.
Yes, they are.
They're bathing in the warm glow of the adulation of their followers.
That's the thing, is you can't say anything anymore without people taking it and saying you're saying one thing.
Did you find that video? Play. Listen to this. This is fascinating. Yeah. Put it up so we can see it.
Do your belly dance.
This is the guy. This is the guy with the beard, who apparently is a very brilliant man and a professor of biology.
At what university?
Listen to this. She made me keep my clothes on. Can you just let it? Yeah. This is where this video, some guys anointed him for all these different things.
I'm taking off my pants.
We lied. We always lie to you, so. Get off my stage. I got work to do.
So he's just joking around here. Everything's cool. You know, just being silly with someone. Now, this is him dealing with this other woman, some card thing they're doing.
Okay, you right there. Purple shirt, yes. You'll do.
So he does not know
her. Come on
up. Very clearly does not know her.
Right.
Pulling her out of the audience. I don't know what that says. We can't see it because of our thing.
It says he turns on the charm.
Okay.
Of course, there could also be higher stakes. We could say, you know, for instance, if I win this hand, I get to kill and eat you.
They're playing around. They're playing cards
one
here.
Possibility. Another thing is, you know, if you win the hand, then I would have to submit and have sex with you.
Okay, he's just joking around, I guess. But it's very awkward.
Then I would have to submit and have sex with you.
Imagine if that was your wife.
You win.
Okay, look at this.
I will give you my hotel room number right after. We'll do the sex thing later. Anyway.
Wow.
Okay, the brush off, well, sorta, it says.
Go back to your seat. No, take the cards with you. I got to call you back for the sex part later, so hang on to those.
Up next, you hear Rebecca Watson, the weird buddy in the feminist movement.
Okay, we don't need to play the rest of it. But that guy needs to shut the fuck up.
Like, you actually said totally that. Like, I'm like, my brain is kind of getting it.
It affirms what like, I what my suspicions right. were. My suspicions right. were social retard.
Right.
And that right. is that's the those are the words of a social retard.
Yeah.
That's an awkward person tries to make a joke about having sex with a woman.
Well, yeah. If but that he was calls your himself wife, a feminist?
Yes, exactly. If that was your wife or girlfriend and he did that, you would be horrified.
Anyways, I don't care if it was my wife or a girlfriend. He's not a feminist.
Yeah.
You don't talk like that as a feminist, first
exactly.
off. And like, that's just really inappropriate behavior.
He's a hypocrite.
Oh, clearly.
Clearly. And but what I was saying before was that even people in the progressive movement do shitty, douchey things
right.
like that. Like
right.
this guy with this Michael Sherman thing.
Right.
It all comes from the same place. It doesn't come from a place of love. It doesn't
no.
come from a place of peace.
No.
Even in reaching out to try to supposedly elevate those who are in trouble or who are depressed or who are or repressed or
right.
who are shit on by society.
Uh-huh.
You're doing it to prop yourself up, A, and to hurt someone else,
yes.
B.
Yes.
You're not doing it in a loving way.
No way.
Exactly.
Dude, that's an agenda. Clearly an agenda. And he found his people that he could totally work his agenda to.
Exactly.
Which is that feminist
that's
movement.
That's fucking dangerous. And that's just like religion.
Yes.
We were talking about earlier today.
Yes.
It's the same thing. It's coming from a place of fear.
Yes.
It's coming from a place of control.
Yes.
It's the same goddamn thing. And the control is super obvious when you see the fucking suppression of free speech that he puts on his own blogs. The fact that on his own blogs, he censors anybody that disagrees, even if they disagree
he's
civilly.
He's a total piece of shit.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
He doesn't even know what he's doing. And that's the thing is, with communities, a lot of times, they censor our speech.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell us we can't say, and I'm using myself as an example here, I'm not allowed to say certain things because they don't reflect our community. But I'm like, but I'm a person first. And it is the way I believe. And I think it is important for me to speak my mind about certain things. We all can't think the same way, like we talked about earlier. We all have different ways we think things should be or things. And it's only from my own personal experience. But within my specific community, I'm not allowed to say certain words or react to certain things. I'm not... Like, who, what?
Well, I think for a lot of folks that do feel marginalized or have been marginalized, like, they've hit that, like, the guy from Network. I'm mad
right.
as hell, and I'm not going to take
right.
it anymore.
Right.
So, like, these are the parameters. This is what we'll accept. This is what we won't accept. And in that way, I understand angry
I
feminism.
I do, but I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't be where I am right now if I had that anger.
Right.
I wouldn't be.
Because you wouldn't get in the doors.
I wouldn't get in the doors. People
yeah.
wouldn't want to listen to me because I was rah. And I really have to tell you, a lot of the communities are really angry and they alienate people like myself who
right.
want to further our acceptance in the world. Obviously I want to.
Yeah.
But because I don't use the same way driving angry force, then I'm the bad person. I'm actually not for that. And I don't believe in that. I believe, like I said earlier, really getting people to understand. You have to educate the people who don't understand us.
And isn't it funny that, like, what we were talking about earlier, like weird acronyms that people use
right.
and categories that are very specific
right.
and then language like privilege that gets used
right.
almost as it's like, you know, like you let them know you're speaking the lingo. If
uh-huh.
you use it all. Noam Chomsky actually addressed this because
uh-huh.
he's a linguist.
Right.
And he was talking about how they're sort of pretending, like in like a lot of radical progressives, pretending that this is almost scientific because they hear quantum theorists talk in this
uh-huh.
like really strange ethereal language that no one really understands. Mm-hmm. So they sort of use the same kind of jargon
uh-huh.
in regards to psychology and sociology and
right.
in regards to like progressive ideas.
Exactly.
And so they're not trying to be understood. They're trying
right.
to be outside of the realm of understanding
uh-huh.
so that you can't question them.
But you are going to question them.
But they in their mind, you can't. You don't even get it. It's LBTQT.
Yeah, I know. It's totally out of control.
And you're an REM.
And I don't
and,
use it.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know if you know what cisgendered is.
No, what does that
oh,
mean?
You,
I've heard
it,
that. I don't know what it means.
It's basically a biological like you were born in the body that you have chosen to be in.
What does cis stand for?
So cis, you have to look it up on the internet. I don't use it. And
is
I'll tell you
CIS,
why.
CIS, gender?
CIS, yeah. So I don't use it specifically. And I don't, it's fine they use it. I use it because I want to educate. Now I have to educate you on cisgendered
mm.
when I just use the word biological. You get biological, do you not?
Yes.
Right.
That's better.
That's better.
Cisgender, in Wikipedia, according to Wikipedia,
great.
Often abbreviated to simply cis, described related types of gender identity where an individual's self-perception of their gender matches the sex they were assigned at birth. So meaning
Biological.
Biological. Yeah.
But they felt a need, and I'm not being a rude or disrespectful, but they felt a need to make their own word.
Yeah.
Because you as a biological person or the straight world have made words for us.
Oh.
So it's sort of like we now have our own word for you. You get it? So I'm like, that's cool, go right ahead, but that's not, you know, for me, I need to educate you. And if I keep getting watered down, You lose it.
That's
you know,
hysterical.
You lose it, and you're not really getting it.
Do you know about the case where there was a man who became a female and then started MMA fighting? Started
fighting Fallon. She's my friend.
She's your friend.
Of course
she's What do you think about that situation? What do you think about the, first of all, the fact that she didn't tell people that she used to be a man.
Right.
And got into MMA.
I get it.
And fought a bunch of women and beat the shit out of them.
I get it.
And then now that she wants to compete as a woman.
Well, okay. She's a woman. To me, she's a woman. She completely changed.
Identifies as a woman.
She identifies as a woman. Again, we're going to come back to what makes you a man and a woman, right? Now, with fighting, it's not my profession. It's not my thing. But she wrote me. Mm-hmm. So can I show you what she wrote me?
Sure.
And I want you to read it.
Sure.
So that you can see what she said. Because, of course, I knew you were going to bring this up. And I think it's very important that you get it from her.
Okay.
Because for me, I can't speak for her because she's a trans woman. I'm a trans man.
Well, you can't speak for her because it's not you.
And also, it's not me. And also, I'm not versed enough in that world of that sport.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't tell you what the rules. But if you're just going to ask me generally what I feel about it, I do feel that she is a woman. And I do feel that she has the right to fight as a woman. It's like saying that I can't use the men's restroom because I'm not really a man.
It is and it
isn't. In a general
it is and it
kind
isn't.
Of way. Well, again.
Well, why don't you read what she has to say for you first.
I want you to see this because I think it is super important that I think it's a completely valid argument, 110%. Don't get me wrong. But I don't have any service in here. What a bummer.
Powerful AT&T. You have AT&T?
No, I have T-Mobile because I have
how dare you?
One of those unlocked phones.
If you step outside that door, I bet you can go. Oh yeah, we have it. Yeah, Jamie, can you get in the password?
So I wanted
let
to...
me since while you're looking for it, while
totally.
We're here's two issues with it. One that I have is the mail frame, the mechanics of the mail frame.
Okay.
It is different.
Okay,
you know it's different. Like if you're a person who has large man hands and man shoulders, that doesn't go away if you take estrogen. And the mechanics of the male frame are a significant advantage. There's also a significant advantage in reaction speed that men enjoy. 10%. It's a massive amount.
Uh-huh.
That's across the board pretty much. With athletes, there's a massive reaction time difference between men and females.
Uh-huh.
There's also learning the skills as a man, being up to 30 years of being a man and then becoming a woman. These are all completely unfair advantages that a man would have entering into female combat sports.
But you're
now,
saying every man is the same body type?
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
But what I'm also, we'll go into that.
Yeah.
But here's the big one. The big one is she didn't say that she used to be a man. She never told anyone. No. Not until it came out. Uh-huh. And then when it came out, the last fight was sanctioned as her being a trans woman. But the fights before that, her opponents, I've spoken to them.
Uh-huh.
They were furious.
Uh-huh.
They were upset, and they were told that they were bigots by people online. They were attacked. This one girl who emailed me and thanked me, she was telling me that she was getting attacked left and right by so-called progressives because they were calling her a bigot because a trans woman that she didn't know used to be a man fought her, and she was pissed off about it because the guy ragdolled her.
Well, I mean, there's so much more involved in this. You know that, right? It can't. It's not black and white. Like anything we've been talking, nothing is black and white. It's just not.
It's not. And I shouldn't say the guy. She ragdolled her. She beat the shit out of them like a guy would beat the shit out of women. It's hard to watch because if you watch the physical advantages that she has over these women. She's not that good. I know what when I look at someone who's good technically.
Yeah, you're a professional. I totally get it.
I understand.
You know your shit.
What I'm seeing is someone ragdoll people. I'm seeing her smash these girls. And
you think it's because of her frame?
Look at my hands. See the size of my hands?
Yeah.
No matter how many female hormones I took, I would still have those bones.
No, I know. Look at my hands. Small
exactly.
girl hands. Totally.
That's a massive advantage. There's a massive advantage in the shape of the hips.
Uh-huh.
There's a massive advantage in the width of the shoulders.
But there
the
are
size
some
the
biological
skull.
Women that are her size.
You're right. There are. There are a few. But it's still not exactly the same. The mechanical advantages of the male body still exist. If you have a man and a woman, and they're the same weight, and they're the same sort of muscularity, there's still a difference in the frame. There's a difference in the shape of the hips. There's a difference in the mechanics. There's a difference in the reaction time.
My frame is still female.
Yes.
I totally understand that. But that said, I think you have to read what she said because, again, I think it's important.
There are variables, though. And there's Serena Williams, who's like this super alpha female.
No, totally.
And then there's girls who, like, there's a woman who's fighting on The Ultimate Fighter right now, who's very skilled, Roxanne Modafferi.
Uh-huh.
She's very feminine. She's very feminine. She doesn't have that fast twitch, explosive muscle fiber that, you know, some
women have
more of. But I think that
Fallon lost a lot of that when she started to take estrogen.
Maybe.
She doesn't have the testosterone in her body.
I'm down with almost everything except combat sports. The reason being is that
because
of the frame, the hands, the mechanical advantage, the reaction time, and the consequences. Your physical health, the consequences of fighting, you're getting hurt badly. And if there's an unfair advantage and that person uses that unfair advantage, whether it's taking steroids and cheating taking blood enhancers like EPO, those are all illegal because they change the field.
Uh-huh.
Now, there are people that are born with more testosterone.
Uh-huh.
It's a natural advantage.
Totally.
You can choose to and not to fight them.
Right.
But in this situation, we're not dealing with we're dealing with a man-made variable. And I think it needs to be addressed before you ever fight, for sure. And I think fighting four times or however many times she fought in secret like that as a trans woman is very dangerous. I think it's tricky.
I understand your point. I completely do. I completely do. And it's a very difficult, like I'm saying,
it's
very difficult.
Yeah.
I know as a trans person, I guess for me, okay, so I'm going to give you the example of this. Let's say I was going to go home with somebody and have sex with them, okay? I'm a huge, huge advocate for disclosure. So I'm not going to – if we're just we're like hanging out in the bar and drinking. I don't need to tell you that I'm a man with a pussy, right? But let's say we're going to go home and fuck.
Right.
I need to tell you right now, dude. You're not going to get a cock right now.
Right.
You're going to get a pussy.
Right.
And like that is so important to me that people understand that you cannot put that other person in that position. You know what I'm saying? Like you cannot put somebody in a position of uncomfortability when you bring them home and they think one thing and you – do another.
Well,
so I am big on disclosure.
Good for you. I can't speak for this woman, but I think in her case, she wanted to be a woman. And then
she had to make that choice in her own mind. What was more important? And how did people find out?
I don't know. Somebody told on her.
Really?
She got in trouble. Yeah.
But she's legally a female, is she not?
I
don't know where her.
Well, some commissions will accept that, and you know she
like
has
if
been
her birth
sanctioned.
Certificate was changed, she's legally a female. I don't know if that happened with her or whatever.
I don't know. I think you still it's a medical thing, a disclosure thing. I think in some athletic commissions, being a trans woman is a medical disclosure thing. Where
so
you
let's
have
say
to
I were
it.
To go start fighting MMA.
Yeah.
Would I have to disclose that I was a that I'm a trans man?
Yeah, I think you probably would. I would imagine it depends on the commission.
Because I don't think people are going to make a big deal out of it as me going in, right?
No.
Than as a woman. I think it's totally different for trans women, I'm telling you. They have to deal with this all across the board. For the restroom, people freak out on that.
But that's also the advantage we just discussed, like your small hands.
Right.
And my giant hands.
Right, exactly.
If I just became a woman and we had a cage fight,
right.
I would have a big advantage. Just,
right.
Just because of the frame.
Of your frame.
That's a big advantage. I know it's an advantage. I know as a martial arts expert
right.
my whole life,
right.
How much that plays a factor. It plays a big factor.
Yeah, I know. It's a fascinating discussion, and of course, I do understand both sides. I do. Don't get me wrong. Can I read it?
Yeah, read her statement.
I've been taking estrogen for around 10 years now. I had my GRS, her sex reassignment, 6 years ago. After GRS, MTFs, male to females, have a lower testosterone count than even cisgendered females. This is regardless of if we take estrogen or not. It's harder for me to keep off fat. It affects my cardio, my bone density, and decreased female range. At first, he said muscles would be stronger, but he backtracked from that when he found out he was wrong. Did you say that?
No, never backtracked.
He said my bone density was in female range. He backtracked from that.
No,
also.
I didn't.
Okay. He found that out. What he had been left with is bone structure, which you just said to me. That's what I last heard him clinging on to. He was trying – she's obviously upset about it because, you know, she just is. Anyway, he was trying to say that I have a great advantage because of my reach. But my reach isn't
that
great. I was only 1 inch longer in reach on my last opponent. My next opponent is taller than me by about 1.5. No, by 1.5. Yeah. Is it 1.5 or 11.5 inches? It's likely that her reach is longer or same as mine. So that shoots that out of the sky. Her name is Ashley Evans-Smith. Okay, so then she had me search this video right here with my last opponent fought was Veronica Rothenhauser. She is about 6 feet. She knocked out my Ashley, the girl I'm about to fight, in 5 seconds. There was like a 5-second knockout. It was the quickest knockout in women's MMA history. Her bone structure is greater than like 90% of the female fighters out there, yet nobody is complaining about it. The key thing is they will probably bring up safety, the safety of female fighters. If safety is the issue, then why not bar cisgendered females over 5'11 or have reach restrictions?
Okay, first of all, there's a lot of
stuff going on.
Bullshit there. Okay. First, I never said anything about it. Her reach is inconsequential. You weigh in. It certainly helps to have a long reach, but it also helps to be shorter and stockier if you use certain techniques.
Right.
Paul Harris style. Here's the thing about bone density.
Okay.
Estrogen is what actually causes bone density.
Right.
Causes bone growth. It's not testosterone. Okay. Men convert testosterone peripherally to estrogen. This is all coming from a doctor who responded to this, Dr. Ramona Krutzit, MD, and as my friend Steph Daniels, a.k.a. Crooklyn, put this article on Bloody Elbow, which is an MMA website about this, where this doctor was detailing advantages that a male-to-female transgender would have.
Okay.
Because the information that is available online is very biased in a lot of ways. And the information is coming from people that are supporting transgender women competing against cis women, as you will. So here you have a man who is on a hormonal blockers to block testosterone, but is now taking estrogen, which is going to prevent osteoporosis. That's how you say it, right?
Uh-huh.
So there wouldn't be a great percentage of bone density loss per se. Males have a higher bone density and higher mass skeletons than females, and it takes a long time for that to diminish. Typically, you're looking at 15 years after androgen suppression and SRS to really start to see significant changes in bone density.
Okay.
So right there, this doctor's saying that she has a male bone structure.
So, we have to cite his research on that somehow.
Yeah, you're right. But what you're showing at least is one person who's an expert in the field, a board-certified endocrinologist who's telling you that, no, this is not true, and that this bone density issue, it takes more than 15 years, and it's a significant advantage that he would enjoy, or a male to female would enjoy once she became a she.
Right.
Over other cis females.
Right.
Her testosterone levels are more than likely in the normal female range since her adrenals are the primary source for it now. Uh-huh. Without seeing her labs, it's hard to say for certain.
Right.
How are they maintaining her levels? Are they keeping them at a very high end or the low end?
Right.
And are her normal ranges for those values? There are huge normal ranges for those values.
Right.
So it's – since – you're dealing with endogenous or exogenous. Is that what you say? How do you say it when it's artificial hormones that you're inserting into your system?
Yeah.
Whatever. You're engineering your hormone levels instead of letting your endocrine system do that.
Right.
So it's very debatable. Like what are the levels and
how come nobody asked for her levels? Have they?
Well, they do. I'm sure they do. They do, especially now.
Yeah.
She developed fully into a male with the normal musculature and bone structure. She didn't undergo hormone therapy and surgery until she was fully developed as compared to someone who completes therapy and surgery in their adolescence and or early adulthood.
Right.
Men are completely developed by the age of 22, and she didn't start a therapy until several years later than that.
Right.
So there's also other things that she goes over, different reasons, several different, and we don't have to continue going into it. But
it's difficult because, of course, I'm coming to it from I'm a man, so I should be treated like a man, whether you like it or not.
Well, you're also coming to it as someone who's supporting transgender and supporting the idea of gender
because
identity.
Because it's my life,
yes,
right? So it's like, of course, I have to understand that. You know, I personally don't understand why she didn't disclose because I would have. So I don't.
I think probably for the same reason why she was deceptive in that letter that she wrote to you about the things that I said.
I didn't say the thing that I didn't disagree about bone structure. Right. I think she has a higher bone structure than most females.
Right.
I didn't disagree about the strength of her muscles. Right. I don't know what she's. I look at her. That's a big woman.
Yeah.
That's a big, strong woman, and she manhandles girls in the cage. She beats the shit out of them.
Right.
And when I found out that she used to be a man, I go, well, that's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a ridiculous strength advantage.
Right.
And yeah, there's girls that are strong as shit, no doubt. And there's probably girls that could beat her ass, no doubt. There's girls like Cyborg that, you know, shit, a lot of guys wouldn't want to fuck with her. Professional fighters wouldn't want to fuck with Cyborg.
Right.
But then there's also that Cyborg got popped doing steroids herself.
You
know, she actually inserted some male hormones into her own system.
Right.
My point is, if you do want to do something like this, first of all, A, disclosure is fucking huge.
Huge.
And B, you need to be tested. And you need to be tested, like, across the board on everything. You can't just be saying I have low bone density and saying I have low testosterone.
Right.
We need to know what the fuck is really going
on. Right.
And it has to be disclosed if people want to compete against you. And I'm sure Cyborg would have no problem beating the shit out of that chick.
Well, the thing is, I think Fallon comes to it with no – she's like the first person to ever do this. So there's a lot of stuff going on there, right? So, you know, it's a very touchy situation because maybe she just feels like a woman. So she feels like, I'm a woman. I don't need to discuss this.
Right, but she started fighting as a woman.
But now it's different, I have to tell you. Obviously, it's out in the open. People know about it. She has a huge opportunity right now to actually open it up for lots more transgender fighters and figure out how we can change it.
Yeah.
How do we change this so it is cool for you to fight and everybody feels cool about it, right?
Yes.
How do we do that now?
That's a real good question.
Yeah.
Well, at least now it's out in the open. So
and
now I have
cool.
no problem with anybody who chooses to compete against her now. Just I don't have any
See
problem with a
awesome
woman who chooses
is?
To compete against men.
But that's awesome that you just said that. That's like huge for trans people, for you to say, I don't have a problem with it, but how do we do it that it's fair? Because sports is all about fair. It is. It's all about fair. I don't care
it's
what sport.
Not, but this is not just a regular sport. This is a sport that puts your health on the line.
Right, I understand
that's
that.
The reality. She's giving these girls concussions.
Yes.
And the reality of combat sports is not like losing a soccer game.
Right.
You know, it's a huge difference.
It's a totally different sport. I get it.
That's why I get so adamant about it.
Uh-huh,
and
right.
the reason why she's so defensive about it is she's got to realize that she hurt those girls. Mm. She knows
did she
did.
Did she actually physically?
Fuck them up. Fucked four or five of them up in the first round.
Oh, really?
And
in the first round?
Yes. Real quick beatdowns.
Right.
Brutal beatdowns.
Right.
She didn't take any damage at all in those fights. She was,
there
was one fight where one girl hit her with a couple of punches boxing. She did pretty good. And she got her on the ground and put her fucking
shit
on
her neck and
choked
her out.
But
are you giving her any credit for her fighting skills, though?
They're okay. I know what good fighting skills look like. I mean, she's a decent competitor.
So you're saying basically that's all comes from her.
She's manhandling them.
That comes from manhandling. It doesn't come from her.
That's what I'm seeing. Uh-huh. What I'm seeing is a huge strength advantage.
Uh-huh.
And that happens with men. And that happens with women, too.
Uh-huh.
There's women that can fucking ragdoll chicks and kick their ass.
Totally.
Cis women, as you were. You know?
I'm getting you a t-shirt, dude.
Get it. I'll wear it. I get that. But that's natural. When you're engineering it, of course people are going to be upset. When you're engineering and deciding, especially when you listen to this doctor say that it takes 15 fucking years before there's any change at all, and that you will have the bone density of a man. I mean, this is a board certified endocrinologist who has no stake in the game, not someone who's a gender reassignment doctor, which is what I've read all across the board, positive in defense of this. It's all been people who are working in that industry. People who have a vested interest in supporting the idea that a transgender female has advantages.
Of course they do, but you can't.
But that's fucked up. It shouldn't be a course.
I agree with you on that. It's about facts.
Yes.
You have to always look at the facts. And if you have actual medical stuff there that says that this person has an advantage over that, you cannot ignore it. It's not being anti-transgender. It's not.
Do you know who you know who Renee Richards is?
Yeah, of
course.
Sure
you do. For folks who don't know, Renee Richards was, you know, basically just a regular tennis player.
Right.
Not that good as a man. Became a woman
and
was a motherfucker. Okay? She was so good. This is way back in the day. Women, trans women had a massive head start on people like you. She was actually barred from playing as a woman in the U.S. Open in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
76. Unless she submitted to chromosomal testing.
Right.
She sued the United States Tennis Association in 77. She won the right to play as a woman without submitting to any testing. Uh-huh. And she played between 77 and 81. She was ranked as high as 20th overall. Uh-huh. And her highest ranking was the end of her last year in 77 was 22nd.
Uh-huh.
She was 20th and 22nd. It's pretty fucking good.
Uh-huh.
I mean... It's
she's
really
a pioneer.
Yeah,
she totally is a pioneer.
She dominated bitches.
But you know what? Like, we got to break through shit, dude. We got to break through shit. It's how it works for us.
Listen, she wasn't fucking hurting anybody.
Right. I get your point. I totally get your point. And I think it's valid.
My anger about it. My mm-hmm. my distrust mm-hmm. in there's a several. One, the lack of disclosure initially.
Right.
Two. In reading her very thing where she's deceptive in right. her email and she says a bunch of things that I didn't say.
Right.
That shows me the way her mind works. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's not a good representative of right. a trans woman.
Right.
And then there's also the issue of what the sport entails. It entails doing violence as quickly as possible.
Right.
And that 1/10 of a second advantage and reaction time is goddamn gigantic.
Right, sure.
It's goddamn gigantic. And, you know, there needs to be studies done as to whether you become a transgender woman. When does that advantage go away?
Exactly.
Does it ever go
away?
Is it imprinted?
Right.
Because the issue of imprinting skills as a man
uh-huh.
and then transitioning to a transgender woman,
uh-huh.
This is not a cut and dry issue. This
no,
is a
it's
very,
far from it.
Very complex issue. But what's important is it has nothing to do with heart and love, and it has nothing to do with
no.
being nice to people. It has nothing to do... I'm coming from it purely as a martial arts expert
uh-huh.
and B, a defender of real women,
uh-huh.
a defender of real women who get stuck in a situation where someone might have a real fucking mechanical, physical bone structure advantage, bone density advantage, testosterone advantage. There's a lot of variables that could really lead to them getting concussed.
Well, not real women. It's cisgender women, by the way, I remember.
Okay.
Using cisgender. Real women freaks people out, just to let you know. I'm helping
sure.
you here.
I'm sure.
But really, what it comes down to, I think, is safety. Let's get
yes.
down to the real issue.
Yes.
It
and
comes
a very
down
unsafe
to
sport, especially.
In a sport that you could kill somebody.
Yes.
And so that is a valid... That is a valid point, I think, coming from you. And I'm not saying that I say it's right what you're saying or it's wrong what you're saying. I think it's valid what you're saying. And I think we need to figure out how to make this work for everybody. Is it possible? I don't know. Does the reach make a difference?
It's not a reach.
It's her
she
size
said
of
that.
Her
that's
bones.
Horseshit.
It's the density of her bones.
They could be the same height, the same.
Yes.
It doesn't matter because you're weighing in.
Right. It's all about the punch, the contact.
It's about the mechanical structure.
Yeah.
Of the male frame,
yeah.
It's about the advantage in reaction time.
Right.
It's about the imprinting of skills
right.
as a male for 20 plus years,
right.
and then transitioning to a female.
Right.
There's a lot of issues,
right.
but what is huge for me to relay is that I am very sensitive to whatever anyone's gender identity is,
yeah.
and I make no judgments on that.
I know.
If it had nothing to do with sport, and especially my sport
mm-hmm.
of martial arts,
right.
and where I'm an expert,
right.
I understand. I've taught it.
I know.
I've done it my whole life.
Yes.
I understand the advantages, and they're giant. You know, I've trained with world champion women.
Right.
You know, and you can tell the difference between a world champion man and a world champion woman.
I'm sure.
Even if they're really high level.
Uh-huh.
There's just a freak advantage that a man has.
Right.
And it doesn't go away that easy, man.
Right.
It just doesn't.
Right.
And some women can counteract that, like a woman like Ronda Rousey. She's as woman as you get, and she'll fuck men up.
Right.
Legit.
Right.
You know, like world champion men, she can armbar them.
Right.
She's legit. But it doesn't mean that it's okay.
Well, I think people
to
are trying to make it a
advantage.
Political statement at this
it is.
Point.
Yes.
It's a political statement, clearly, which is not actually fair to do in a sport that could kill somebody.
And what's fucked is I support the political statement side of it.
Of course you do. I know that about you.
That's
you're,
what's
you're,
really
you're fucking
fucked
have me
about
on your
this.
Fucking show, dude. You're very cool with shit like that.
But I can't
I understand
support
where you're
that.
From.
I can't
right.
support that because
right.
cis women are going to get fucked up. I mean, that's
they
I
already
mean,
are getting
not all of them. Yeah, everyone's getting fucked up anyway. You know, not all of them, obviously. But
So I have a question.
Okay.
Do every single one of the cisgender women fighters have a problem with Fallon?
A huge percentage. I don't know if everyone. I haven't spoke to
okay.
every one of them,
okay.
but I've spoke to several
most
in
of...
private who don't even want to discuss it.
All right.
Who were
right.
with a chain of expletives. Fuck that. And
right.
one of the things that they always use is man hands. They
yeah.
use the size of hands. If you have a ball peen hammer and a big nail, it's really hard to drive that nail in. If you got a fucking sledgehammer and the same size nail, you boom, and it goes right in.
Right.
There's a weight advantage to the size of a hand that makes a big difference.
But
and some
if
people
she was
don't
cisgendered,
have that.
Would it be?
She's not.
I know.
But that's the problem.
Right,
the problem is
I,
she's
I don't
not.
I think it's an argument.
Like George Foreman. If you gave George Foreman female hormones and put him in a dress, he would fuck up every woman on the planet Earth. His hands are like canned
hams.
Those
are the things that don't change. Your feet and your hands
don't change. They don't change. No, neither is your jaw,
actually,
which
my
affects
jaw
your
change.
Ability to take a punch. But I mean changing from male to a woman.
Okay, right. You're right.
Yeah.
From a, man,
well,
from a woman to a man.
You got more
my
dense.
Face became all like Cro-Magnon man.
You liked it though, huh?
Neanderthal.
You got excited. You enhanced it with a beard. That's, you know, and the, when in expressing something, whether it's on a podcast or expressing something in a tweet or a blog, the full idea sometimes always don't get across. You know, and I've been accused across the board about this of being transphobic.
Sure.
Transphobic.
You're not,
and
actually.
I think it's really... It's normal, it's natural to, for someone to immediately point the finger and say that.
Yes.
But it's not fair to the subject, because the subject is very intense.
But you're not transphobic.
I'm not
I'm
at all.
I'm going to say it on air right now. You're not transphobic.
Well, I'm not anything phobic.
Yeah, you're not.
I'm not racist.
You're not.
I'm not.
No, you're not.
Homophobic. But I'll call people on their shit.
That's totally different.
Yeah.
And I do the same thing. It's completely different.
Well, I like I said, I'm friends with one of the girls that she fought, this cisgendered female who got the fuck beat out of her.
Right.
And, you know, she was like, Jesus Christ, I'm getting manhandled here. I mean, that's how she described it.
She didn't even feel like it
she
was an actual fight.
She got ragdolled.
So ragdoll is when you just like fucking
like
just pull
fucking
shit across
somebody.
Yeah,
like,
right.
When someone gets ragdolled, it means that, you know, like if I fought Brock Lesnar, I get ragdolled.
Right.
He would just
swatted across. Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not saying that the difference between her and a female is probably far less than me and Brock Lesnar.
Right.
He could probably ragdoll me easier than she was ragdolling these women who are in her same weight class. But there's an advantage, and it needs to be discussed, and it needs to be something that's fully explored. And maybe she's the pioneer of this exploration.
She is.
And maybe they, you know, will figure out a way to add something that alleviates a certain amount of bone density. Maybe they'll figure out how to do something that changes the mechanical advantage that a man has.
Maybe
it'll be a chromosomal thing.
Maybe we have to understand that she has to fight the people that want to fight her. And
people
that don't want to fight her, they have that option right now to say, yeah, I want to fight her, or I don't want to fight her. And then we have to figure out how that's going to play into the situation.
And you know what? There also can be a transgender division of
MMA. No, that's very cool.
Transgender women. There's plenty of transgender women.
That would be really fucking cool, dude.
That's a great idea.
That's a super awesome idea.
That idea that leaves no controversy at all.
Yes.
I don't think anybody would have a problem with it.
I don't think so.
You wouldn't hear a peep out of me. I would have no problem with it.
No, because it's a fair fight now.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And I don't think, you know... I don't think there's anything wrong with the idea if it's vetted out and found to be 100% safe.
Right.
But I have looked at it objectively. I've looked at the research. Mm-hmm. I've been told by all these progressive people that are like, you know, hey, there's real science been done on this. I looked at that real science, and it's horseshit. There's not real science.
Right.
It's real science that's set up to give confirmation bias to the idea that as soon as someone attains sexual reassignment surgery, then they're immediately, they not just identify as that sex, but
are
that sex physiologically.
Right.
And it's simply not true.
It's not true. I'll be the first to tell you that. I have female frame still.
Yeah.
You cannot change your DNA.
Yes.
Once that is there, my frame is still female. It is. I can put as much bulk as I want to put on my body. I still have – and you know when I used to be a lot bigger, I was like, oh, getting into the whole bodybuilding thing. And then I hurt all the time because my little frame underneath there was like, fuck you.
What's the heaviest you ever got?
I got about 185. And I was just like – my shoulders were like this. I had no neck, dude. I was like all – oh, and I was like, I'm over this shit, man. And I traveled like mad, so I couldn't go to the gym all the time, and my eating sucked. And so, like, I wasn't comfortable. My frame underneath, my woman frame, was going, you fucking bitch, I get that shit off.
How much did you weigh as a woman?
Oh, I was small, dude. I was 110.
Whoa!
Tiny, so you put on
75 pounds of muscle.
Packed it on, dude.
Think of 75 steaks. Like big, fat, thick, 1 pound
steaks.
Dude,
and I was just like, I'm gonna get big. I was all one of those crazy gym people.
75
steaks. Yeah, I packed it up, dude. Like, I was crazy.
When you look at it that way, 75
steaks. It's pretty gross.
That's a lot of meat you
put
on
you. It's gross.
What do you weigh now?
Now I weigh about 160.
You feel like that's like...
Oh, I'm at my weight, dude. That's perfect. I'm totally at
25
my
pounds
love
down.
It. Totally love it.
Even.
Feels so
50
awesome.
Up.
Yeah, like, oh, fuck that shit. Like, ow, that hurts.
Yeah. What were you doing? You doing a lot of powerlifting?
Yeah, totally.
Like
just heavy, deadlifts. Heavy weights, dude. Like, every kind of heavy weight you could imagine. Yeah, deadlifts, like, bench press, like, all of the big heavy weights.
That, I'm sure, changed your frame a little bit.
You think?
Yeah. Not just your bone structure, too. I bet that made your bone structure a lot dense. I bet that's also a lot of what how your head got thicker.
Oh, my head got
like
totally thick.
Your jaw.
All
that fucking
my nose grew.
Powerlifting, and especially powerlifting under the influence of testosterone,
right.
That's a big one for just everything denser. They say a certain amount of it is actually really important for old people, to avoid loss of bone density. Men and women.
I believe that totally.
Yeah, those powerlifting movements like deadlifts and
I think they're
squats.
Awesome. I still do that, yeah. But more in a like CrossFit-y kind of way, not so much like the going to the gym and like
right,
you know,
right, right.
Blah.
Well, CrossFit-y, they get a little wacky too.
Oh no, they're totally
those people
insane, dude.
Get bananas.
Yeah.
I have a buddy who's got a blown back now from CrossFit, and I was trying to warn him, you know, I was like
chill out.
I was like, my trainer says that when you do all those reps with those powerlifting exercises, it's kind of dangerous.
You think? Or those
like,
crazy pull-ups they do.
It's the WOD. I got to
get
it done.
No, my sister's totally into it. She opened a CrossFit gym, and they're like totally obsessed with her CrossFit, and I go every once in a while, and it's all cool. But
it's sexy as fuck.
It gets
fuck.
A little bit insane.
I think those chicks are sexy as fuck.
Yeah, their bodies look phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Really strong, like powerful chicks that look like chalk on their hands.
No, they totally are fucking amazing. Yeah.
That's what I like.
They have really.
I like the squatters.
Maybe I should do a porn with CrossFit chicks.
People would love that.
CrossFit porn.
Yeah, CrossFit would kick you out of every fucking gym in the country. So, as soon as it goes natural. As soon as it goes national and big on the internet, they'd be like, what the fuck, Buck?
Yeah, you're fucking it all up for us.
We got a bunch of people that got the total wrong impression of CrossFit now.
I think it's a sex club.
Yeah, you go and squat and then just fucking rape each other.
I'm like, those squats are really good for sex, actually.
They are, though, right? Nobody wants to have sex with frail people. You know, you don't want to have sex with someone and worry about breaking things.
Yeah. So hopefully Fallon is going to be cool about what we discussed.
Listen,
I want Fallon to know
that I don't have no disrespect to her as a human being.
I believe that.
And if I knew her only as a trans woman, we would be friendly as all fuck.
Sure.
I swear to God.
I believe it.
My issue lies only on the lack of disclosure and what I saw in those fights.
So how can she fix that, do you think? Is there a way that she could sort of... what's the word I'm looking for? Like, sort of bring herself back, and people start having a little bit of more respect for her in the MMA stuff. Or
well,
is it,
now
like
that
she already lost her
I don't know,
discredited herself from that, or
I don't think anybody ever discredits themselves forever. I mean, I think even the biggest fuck ups, you know, one can come back from.
Right,
if you're honest, especially.
Well, if you're honest, but sometimes people aren't willing. A lot of times, the communities aren't willing to sort of give you that.
Yeah, well, she's going to certainly face some resistance. You know,
she already is.
Yeah, she's certainly going to face resistance as far as opponents. But at least now it's willing resistance. It's people who understand, not resistance post fight where they go, wait a minute, that used to be a guy?
Right.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
And then they get mad. They're like, Jesus Christ, you have a concussion. They
can't
hear.
Well, because that's what they're hearing. That used to be a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, that brings up all kinds of red flags. You're like, I'm not fighting a dude. This is women's fighting.
But
that's what's going on.
Now that it's revealed, I'm for anybody who wants to fight her. I just think that if the commissions are going to be responsible about it, there should be some sort of real protocol set in place.
Right.
It should really be examined. Mm-hmm. Bone density, the whole nine yards, everything should be examined.
Mm-hmm.
And you should have more opinions than these extremely biased gender reassignment doctors who are providing a lot of the information that I've been reading online that people have been pointing to in support of gender reassignment people being immediately recognized as cisgender, you know, it's the same, real woman category, whatever.
Right.
I think once it's out there, it's out there. Now that it's out there, hey, you know, if you choose to compete against her and you're a cis woman and you have no problem with it,
it's cool.
I'm free with you trying to ride bulls too. I think that's way more ridiculous. I'm, you know, I'm free with you trying to fucking do flips on a BMX bike. Do whatever the fuck you want.
But
man,
any kind of contact sport, maybe like rugby or something like that. What do you think about?
If you want to do it, as long as you know
as long as the other teammates or people know that you are a transgender
person. Yes.
Well, so yeah, it needs to be disclosed.
It needs to be disclosed. Yeah. It needs to be disclosed. And it really needs to be studied objectively and scientifically without any sort of bias. Uh-huh. So we can really look at the actual numbers, not just on one person, but on several people. Look
like
at
on that
pre-surgery,
side only. Right.
Yeah, pre-surgery, post-surgery, in the middle, 5 years in.
Right.
Well, let's get a real database to work from, because we don't have one right now. I think, look, there's women, when I used to kickbox, there used to be this chick that used to come in the gym and fucking slug it out with dudes.
Right.
And everybody supported her on that. You know, you want to go in there and do that? And I know girls that are pro MMA fighters to this day that go in the gym and duke it out with dudes. And they do it because it makes them better. And that I am fucking 100%. Yeah, but they know what they're doing when they're going in there. They choose that and just like riding a bull or going BMX riding or anything else is dangerous. As long as you are fully aware of the parameters of the competition. Competition that you're getting involved in and the risks that it might entail.
Right.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah. I'm, you know, I just said earlier, I'm all about disclosure.
It's
like a huge,
huge
thing for me. And in every part of your life as a trans person, we're different than the rest of the world and we have to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Face value, I look like a guy, but it doesn't mean that you might think that way about me as well.
Well, what's beautiful about today is you may be different than me or you may be different than Jamie, you might be different, but you're not different than everybody and you can reach each other.
Right.
The communities now that can be established through the internet, they're so much broader and there's so much more varied. There's so much more room for everybody. You can find those folks.
Totally.
And I think that's a lot of the enthusiasm about finding that is what creates all these, you know, weird acronyms and secret languages and these weird inside talk.
Languages.
It's like inside chatter.
It is. It's our secret language.
To let everybody know that you're inside, you know? I think that's sort of, you know, what that kind of fosters that kind of. But I think that's a natural aspect of human interaction.
Uh-huh,
I think.
Sure.
Especially when finally you belong.
Totally.
You know, you like involve and engross yourself in it and just really get super in depth in it.
Yeah, because you can buddy up and we all know how we each feel about each other and what, you know, how our lives were. We all have the same story in different ways, but we all come to it.
And I think it's also super important that a guy like you comes out and explains how much bullshit you had to deal with before that happened, and your point of view, and how depressed you were, and how gross it was to have to fucking fight people because they didn't like who you were.
Totally,
and
gross.
People can hear that, and it'll change people's opinions.
I totally think so.
Fuck yeah, it will.
I totally, but you know, like I said, people like you putting me on their show, I totally give you props for that, dude, because your fan base doesn't know guys like me, and of course they're gonna say stuff. I totally get it, but I know that many of the guys are going to walk away going, actually, Buck is totally a dude.
You'd be surprised at my fan base.
No,
there's a lot of weirdos.
I did some research.
There's a lot of weirdos. I'm the bridge between the meatheads and the potheads.
I get it. But that's my point. That's important because those guys are the ones that are like, ugh.
Well, they just don't understand.
They don't want to understand.
Yeah. And they don't understand also that there's actual strength in not judging. There's strength in being open.
Yes.
There's strength in being cool with everybody.
Yes.
There's personal strength.
Yes, there is.
In being open to other and not being insecure about that.
Yes.
And that closed offness is actually a weakness.
Oh, clearly.
And it also provides you and gives you conflict in your life that's unnecessary and enemies in your life that are unnecessary. They easily could be allies.
I know. That's what I was saying about having the positive energy and discussing those things and understanding. Yeah, remember what we said? Your opinion about Fallon is your opinion, and I appreciate that opinion, and she should too.
My opinion also happens to be the exact same opinion of every single martial arts expert that I've talked
to. That's interesting.
I have not talked to one.
That had a diff. That
not
it was
one trainer, not one person involved in deeply in the business, not one fighter, male fighter, not one. Not one said it makes everyone was like, what?
Because it's new. It's something
that
no one. Well, and also
men
the facts.
Understand the advantages.
Right.
There's critical advantages.
Right.
Even like great female fighters, like Misha Tate is a great female fighter.
Uh-huh.
She moves like a woman though. There's a difference. There's a difference in the way the body moves.
Yeah, I see that.
You know?
Yeah.
People have there's a real like a consensus opinion about that across the board in the mixed martial arts community.
Right.
And it's almost unanimously against someone doing that without disclosure.
Right.
Because it's not fair. That's the idea.
Well, yeah, because the facts show it's not fair.
But the fact is, Serena Williams, I think, could wreck bitches. She's a total cis woman.
I love her. Are you kidding me?
If I could get Serena Williams in an MMA gym, she would just listen to me. I would say, Serena, well, you're going to be the baddest bitch in the history of bitches.
Oh, she would kill it. She would kill it.
I was just saying.
Okay, well, so then could we put Fallon and her against each other? Well, what do you think that?
Well, Fallon would probably kick her ass
you
right
think?
Now. Yeah, you need to have some skills. If a person doesn't have any
after you train her, what do you think about that?
They would have to have a commensurate skill level
before
you could even judge. And I would have to like actually see Fallon like hit a bag and see like what she can actually do right now in person.
Right.
You know, Serena Williams, I'm sure, doesn't have any MMA training. I mean, to be that fucking good at tennis, you're eating, breathing, sleeping, living tennis.
Yeah, totally.
But she's a super athlete.
Super.
Yeah, if she just listened to me, I could get that bitch in the right gym.
I love her. She's so awesome.
Give me a couple of years. I'll get you the right trainers. Just listen to me. I'm going to judge you. I'm going to write journals every day. We're going to take... She would dominate female MMA.
Dude, but she kills it in tennis. She's like, fuck that.
A lot more money in tennis.
I'm like, yeah, she's like, fuck that. I'm making a trillion.
Look at that body.
Dollars.
Jesus, Louises.
Oh, yeah.
Look at her fucking body.
It.
God damn.
I know, I love her. She's
If you were in a fight to the death with that chick,
you're dead.
You got to fight.
You're dead.
You can't take it easy on her, man. Look at that arm. My goodness. If that arm got around your neck, oh, you're going to sleep. You're going night-night. If someone taught her how to do a triangle properly, you ever see her legs? Jamie, pull up a picture of her legs. Jesus fucking Christ. The legs of the gods.
Yeah.
The tightness of her vagina must be a of legend. If she clamped down on you, it's probably like dogs. You know how dogs, like the male dog locks into the female and the female wants to get away?
Like, crying.
The dog's in pain. Like, let me go.
They're just supposed to pour hot water on them or something.
Well, there's something physiological that happens to the male's penis where they actually lock in there somehow in order
does.
To make sure. Look at her fucking legs. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Look at her ass, dude. Are you kidding?
Oh my God.
Her ass is amazing.
That looks like her ass is pregnant with basketballs. It doesn't even look real.
Doesn't look real.
She looks like she could just jump over a building.
I mean, she is Superwoman.
She could just
launch
herself over the entire fucking tennis arena. What a fucking ass.
Yeah,
my
that
God.
Is an athlete. That's like an ultra athlete.
Woo!
Wow. Where did you get that picture from?
What the fuck is that ass? Look at that.
I'm tripping out.
Her ass is insanity. It's a Photoshop. It looks like a Photoshop.
It does.
Is that a Photoshop? Make sure that's not a Photoshop. Find other corroborating pieces of evidence
online.
Yeah,
we need to see the real. Yeah.
That's so ridiculous.
Wow.
But I've seen enough that I think it is what her ass really looks like.
Yeah, I know. It is. That's power.
God damn, you ain't kidding. That girl, Jesus Christ. That girl's got some fucking genetics.
Super.
Woo! Like I said, the amount of pull.
Look, there's her ass right
it's
there.
It's insane.
There
that's
it's
on
real.
The beach. It shit's real.
That's
and that's not even like in the middle of training.
No, it's
that's
not
just
pumped up.
Smiling with sunglasses
<It's all>
on. smiling with sunglasses on with ultra ass trailing behind her.
Oh,
that's like three asses. She has like three small white girl asses packed in together. Yeah, that's you can't get that every day. If every woman looked like that, we'd be a totally different species of human.
Oh, completely.
If that was the look at that fucking body,
yeah.
Jesus! If that was the genetics of every woman we all bred, we would have warrior children.
Completely.
We would make like every woman look like 300.
That
like,
would be awesome.
After they did the CGI on their bodies,
awesome.
Everyone's body would look like 300. It would be insane. Yeah, I mean, that is also the gray area when you're talking about transgender. It's like that a cisgender woman like her exists. And then, you know, what is that? That's a freak end of the spectrum.
And that's a cisgender woman.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe we should look at what her bone density is and all of the things that she has.
And her musculature. And then look at, but also the weight class, too. She would be clearly a heavyweight.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how
sure.
much she weighs, but I got to think she's a buck 65,
yeah,
a buck 75
yeah.
at least. And think about the full spectrum. Go Molly Ringwald to her. You know?
Why Molly
pasty,
Ringwald?
I don't know. That's what came to mind. Pasty, redhead.
Totally.
Just looks like she bruises every time she runs into a corner of a table.
That is
ow,
so funny.
Ow. She's got shin bruises and hangnails that are swollen. Poor Molly.
That's not sexy. I can't.
No, she's just soft and white.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah. Take her outside, the bright sun, she turns pink. Just immediately. Ah! Like a fucking vampire.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the same with males as well. That's a real issue with men's athletics in mixed martial arts as well. And that has nothing to do with steroids. There's people that are just natural super athletes.
Right, right.
And then there's other folks that just have really slow twitch muscle fibers that, you know, wouldn't be bad if they're triathletes. But in an MMA fight, they just can't generate speed and power.
Right.
And then they fight someone who just, boom, they can just blast them. And it's sad to watch because you know that fighter A will never beat fighter B.
Right.
You know, there's fighter B's.
So why are they in the ring in the first place?
Because they're good. They're just not good enough.
Enough.
They're good. They get, like, there's certain guys. I don't want to mention any names, but I'll mention the positive side.
Uh-huh.
There's certain guys that they're never going to beat a guy like Jacare Souza.
Uh-huh.
There's a guy, pull up this picture of Jacare. Jacare Souza against Yushin Okami. There's photos of him beating the fuck out of this badass Japanese dude, Yushin Okami. Now, Yushin Okami is a bad motherfucker. Uh-huh. And this Jacare guy is such a physical freak that he just crushed this guy.
Wow.
I mean, there's certain guys that just have this very unique physical ability,
right.
And no matter what you do, you're never going to beat that.
Right.
As long as he's training, as long as he's learning skills, as long as he's dedicating himself, he has certain inherent advantages that he was blessed with that you can't overcome.
Right.
Because if a guy is not just has the physical ability, but also puts in the dedication and has the intelligence and the mental strength.
Right.
If he has all those factors,
done.
It's not fair. It's not fair.
Yeah, right.
Because if you don't have those, if you're just super tough
and
you're really technical, but your fucking body sucks a fat dick,
right.
You just got some old school slow poke DNA, and you just can't get over that physical hump. That guy can crack you at will, and you can't reach him.
Right.
You can't get a hold of him. You can't hit him when you want to. He's too fast.
Right.
There's nothing you can do. Pull up. Is there any photos of Jacare?
With someone or just
you? Well, just if you find an impressive photo of him, look at him.
Oh, wow.
That guy is a fucking super stud. It's hard to tell from that picture.
Wow.
If you see, there's a picture of him beating the shit out of Okami. If you see Jacare versus Okami, look at Jacare vs. Okami, Brazil. He was a world jiu-jitsu champion, multiple-time world jiu-jitsu champion, and now he's fighting in MMA. And just, and he, you know, and he is the argument towards Fallon Fox's side that there's a broad spectrum in both sexes, as is Serena Williams. Yeah,
right. So then, So that's actually a really good question, then.
Yeah,
right? Because then you have that. Is that fair? But it's natural.
Yeah. See if you can find the picture of him beating the shit out of Okami. Because there's some photos of him smashing Okami where you look at his body and just like, Jesus fucking Christ. If you see him move, it's even spookier because he moves like a cat. He moves like a big giant cat. Just springs on
dudes.
So if
someone's getting the shit beat out of them in a fight, do they like stop it at a certain point?
Yes. Yeah.
Because it looks like you're going to die.
There you see him there teeing off on him. But if you see him actually moving, it's even spookier. Yeah, they stop it. If a guy can't defend himself, is not defending himself, or if the referee thinks he's taking too much punishment, the referee is free to stop it at any time. If he feels like it's not competitive anymore, the guy's in danger. And that's the most important job the referee has, rescuing people from danger.
From danger.
Yeah.
And what's the worst thing that ever happened in a ring? Did someone ever die in there?
No, not in the UFC. A guy died this week in Brazil from weight cutting, actually.
What's that?
Weight cutting is these guys, they want to. There's him fucking some dude's arm up.
Look at that muscle.
He's a monster. His jiu-jitsu is nasty, too. He's a fucking beast. Weight cutting is like, say if you're going to compete at 155 pounds, you want all the advantages that you can get. And one of the best advantages is you dehydrate yourself.
Oh.
So you make 155 pounds and then you rehydrate yourself up to like 170-ish. And then you go into the ring, they use IV. So you go in the ring fully hydrated and you feel great. But you weighed in at 155, but now you weigh 170. So you're really big for the weight class. And there's a point of diminishing returns where you cut too much weight and it weakens your body so much that you can't perform well the next day.
Right.
And then there's way past that point where this guy went to where he died. This is the first.
Because he cut
too much weight. This is the first known case that I'm aware of in MMA of someone dying, but it's been a problem with college wrestling for a long time and high school wrestling, to the point where they've started to monitor athletes weights and how much they cut and how much they put back on, and they make sure that they don't get below a certain amount of body fat. They're not. They make sure that they don't cut too much water.
Wow, that's scary.
It's very scary, and it's even more scary in combat sports, because in combat sports you're also dealing with the effects of the concussive impacts on the dehydrated brain, and it's much more dangerous. Is a little known fact, but all of the deaths in professional boxing that have occurred inside the ring, at least almost all of them, have been under the heavyweight division. It's all in the divisions where people had to cut weight.
So then you weigh in at that weight, and then you,
you rehydrate.
Is that legal?
Yes.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
That doesn't make sense to me, though.
Exactly. You know why? Because you're looking at it as an objective observer that's intelligent and hasn't already like decided that that's just a part of the landscape. When you're looking at it normally, you're like, this is crazy.
This is crazy.
They shouldn't let people do that.
No, it doesn't because it's just about the weight, so that's all you're focused on.
Yes. There's two different fights. There's the fight that happens in the gym and or the, in the cage, and there's the fight that happens to get to the scale.
To get to the scale.
There's two different complete
battles.
And
you can't fight unless you're that exact weight right
there. Yeah, so for the 24 to 48 hours before weigh-in is horrific for these guys.
Like a nightmare.
A nightmare. They dehydrate themselves radically.
Retarded.
They don't eat a fucking... They don't eat shit. They eat very little food. They're starving by the time they get on that
scale. Well, bodybuilders do the same thing, right? They have to like...
Yeah, but they don't get head
kicks. But they don't have to like smack each other around, right?
They don't get fucking shins bounced off their domes at 40 miles an hour.
That's weird, though. Do they talk about this in...
Yes.
Yes. And then, like, are they planning on, like, fixing this? Or
well, there's not much they can do. The
do
one
mean?
Thing that they've done is they've moved the weight, because you can't stop people from doing that if they want to do that.
Well, I'm talking about the actual, like, laws of the UFC. Like, maybe they should, you know, make the weight in a variable there of 5 pounds or something. Or whatever.
No,
you wouldn't
do that, because then people would just get heavier. They would make sure that they were heavy. Like,
and then
you
they
varied
would do
it up
the
to
same
60,
thing. Right.
Yeah. See, if you varied it, if you said, like, you don't have to weigh in at 155, you can be as heavy as 160.
Right.
Then they would get up to 180 and cut down to 160.
And then they would still, but they'd still
they'd
be
even
cutting.
Bigger. Yeah, they'd be even bigger. Because they've got it down to a science. Like, there's some guys, like, the best guy is this Brazilian guy. His name is Gleison Tebow. Oh. He will cut 30 pounds, and he will weigh in
at
155, but fight closer to 180. He will put most of it back on by the time.
30 pounds?
Pull up this guy, Tebow, man, try spelling that. Oh, you found him. Beautiful.
And then how do you
cut? The size of this motherfucker.
Holy crap.
If you saw how big this guy is in person, he's 5'10". And he weighs it at 155. And he's
155?
Gigantic, yeah. He's gigantic when he gets in the cage.
Wow.
I mean, he's a fucking monster. He's the very best in the world at cutting weight. No one cuts weight better than that guy.
Yeah, they have it down to a science.
Yeah.
They have to.
It's also biospecific. Like, you might be better at weight cutting than I am.
Uh-huh.
And I might be better than he is. Some people can dehydrate the shit out of themselves and and bounce back easy and cut a lot of weight. Other guys can't do it. And it affects people very differently. And no one understands why. They don't know if it's a genetic issue, if it's a
like
diet
your cells
issue.
Are different or, yeah,
they
yeah,
don't
right.
know. But some guys can cut a fuckload of weight. And you
then
don't...
how do they do that? How do they get the weight?
There's a bunch of different ways.
Like putting something on
They try not to do that anymore. That's the old school way to do it, and some guys still do it that way, but that's actually dangerous. The way they do it now is through distilled water. They take massive amounts of water up till the weigh-in, up to the week of the weigh-in, and then on several days before the weigh-in, they drink only distilled water, and they drink quite a bit of it. So your body is used to just pissing out this water.
Oh.
Distilled water has no minerals in it at all.
Right.
So you're just, the water's going in you and out you, in you and out you, right through. You're not retaining it. And so then, leading up to the fight, they stop drinking water at all, and they piss everything out. So they get down to, like, nothing. Then they step on the scale. They weigh in at whatever it is.
Wow.
And then they slowly rehydrate, first of all, with Pedialyte, which is an electrolyte supplement.
Uh-huh.
And then they go to IVs. They take an IV bag. And they it's no joke, man. And the IV bag is apparently the best way to rehydrate your noggin. Because
it's fast.
The brain, the brain fluid is the real issue.
Yeah.
And doing it through the digestive tract apparently takes much more time
for sure
than it does through
the
IV right into your blood. You can rehydrate much quicker.
Right.
This is the size of this guy, Gleison Tebow.
Wow.
Yeah, I think, I don't know which one is pre-weigh-in. That's the one on the right is when he's dried out. He just looks like the same muscular guy, just
fake.
A little smaller.
He looks like,
And then on the left, he just with the white shorts on. See the size of that motherfucker.
Scary.
He's a tank, too. He's a strong motherfucker. And he's also a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
All right.
And he's got, like, you know, 30 fucking plus MMA fights. He's a beast. But he's the best at doing that. But it's a dangerous game. Like,
it
cutting
has
weight.
To be. It's really not cool for your brain to do that.
I've seen guys walk up to that scale where they look like they're dead. Wow. They struggle to get... The weigh-ins are on the top of a platform, and they have to go up this platform, go up the stairs, get to this platform. I've seen guys who are going to fight in a cage in 24 hours, and they can barely walk up those stairs.
Wow.
Barely make it.
It's just really out of control.
Feet. Oh, yeah. Real dangerous. Nothing they can do about it. The best thing they've done is move the weigh-ins from the day of the fights to 24 hours before. Boxing did that.
And then what does that do? It gives them more time
gives them more time
to
rehydrate.
So they're not so out of it when they get into the ring.
Because they used to do it the day of. They used to do it the morning of the fights. Guys used to weigh in, and then they would go and fight that night. And weight cutting has existed forever in boxing and wrestling, and you know, and as soon as MMA had weight classes, people started weight cutting.
There.
It's you know, because especially with MMA, because MMA, they came into it with a wrestler's mentality, and a lot of MMA fighters, their base is in wrestling.
Right.
In fact, it's the best base for MMA, and those guys that came into it are used to cutting weight.
Right.
They're really good at it, and they know how to do it well.
Right.
The issue, of course, is that their sport doesn't have head trauma or much head trauma. Whereas MMA is all about
it's all
trauma.
About that.
Yeah. And head trauma with dehydration is
I'm
very
I'm surprised there hasn't been more deaths. It's pretty incredible.
They're on the ball. The doctors are excellent. The referees are excellent. The commissions, they keep a close eye on fighters, and they test the shit out of them before they actually get into the cage. They make them do MRIs,
sure,
a full blood scan. They make sure that these people that go in there are healthy. And they've actually found a lot of, like, real issues with people because of these scans that have, you know, like, people didn't know they had, like, an aneurysm ready to happen in their brain.
And if they got hit, they would have been, like, out.
My friend Dan Hardy, who was a top-level MMA fighter, found out he had an extra heartbeat. Some weird aberration of his heart where he's got his primary heartbeat and he's got this weird sort of extra beat that goes on, and the worry is that this extra beat can overcome him and he could possibly have a heart attack.
Right.
Or, I don't understand the medical aspect of it, but he can't fight now unless he has this operation where they go into his chest and remove this extra heartbeat. Yeah,
he can't fight
now? No, and he's a top-level pro. And it's just the concern by these athletic commissions and the doctors have kept him from competing. So he hasn't fought in the UFC in a couple of years. It's a real issue.
Why doesn't he get an operation?
Well, for him, he doesn't feel like he needs it. He doesn't feel like it's
warranted
or necessary.
Yeah, but it's preventing him from fighting.
It's also, he underwent, and I hate using these terms, but in his case, it's actually the correct term. He underwent a spiritual transformation.
Oh.
He went to the Amazon and took ayahuasca and sort of has reassessed his entire life since then. And it was really not...
He totally had an awakening.
Yeah, he's totally fine.
I know it's all wing-nutty like Zen, but it happens.
It ain't wing-nutty if you take it.
I think those things happen.
Oh, yeah.
I really believe that it happens.
Have you ever done ayahuasca?
No, but I would be pretty awesome to do.
You need to do it.
I think so.
Yeah.
Have you done it?
Yeah. Well, I've done the strongest version of it, which is the pure dimethyltryptamine.
Oh, my God.
Ayahuasca.
Were you in the Amazon jungle when you did it?
No, I was in my house.
And you painted it all
bugs.
Amazon jungle.
I don't need to go where the bugs are.
You're
that's
like,
ridiculous.
I hate mosquitoes.
The earth doesn't give a fuck where you are.
That's hilarious.
One of the things that you realize when you do DMT is the earth gives zero fucks where you are while this is happening.
Totally.
You do not need to be in the desert. You do not. It is way bigger than that. It's the whole universe.
No, totally. Wow.
Dimethyltryptamine is the pure version of what the ayahuasca experience is.
Wow.
Ayahuasca is the orally active version of dimethyltryptamine. And these shamans in the Amazon figured many, many thousands of years ago, we don't even know when, they figured out how to combine these ingredients in order to make DMT orally active.
Wow.
Because DMT normally is not orally active because it exists in so many different plants.
Uh-huh.
So many you would be tripping all the time. Ate salad.
Right.
Really?
Right.
No bullshit.
Yeah.
So your body produces something called monoamine oxidase, and monoamine oxidase breaks down dimethyltryptamine in the gut.
Okay.
So what they've done with ayahuasca is it's a combinatory drug where they've taken the root of one plant and the leaves of the other, and the leaves are, or the root, one of them, is a natural MAO inhibitor. And it's called harmine, and they boil this stuff down together, and they create this thing where the MAO inhibitor and the DMT are all together so that as you drink it, it goes into your gut, but the monoamine oxidase gets killed by the harmine, and the DMT goes right into the bloodstream.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like a slow release version. And then of what the happened DMT.
when you
go to the spirit world?
Yeah,
it's for real. The idea of the spirit world sounds like everything that everybody thinks about when you think of like. If you took a pill and you went to a magic place where there's dragons and demons and aliens and spaceships and fractals all around you, it's that times a million. Plus, plus it's way more real than reality itself.
Wow.
And yeah, and well, Dan Hardy went down there and did this. Wow. And he's like, well, fighting is kind of futile. It's like kind of like... What am I doing? Like, what is what's the necessary evil here? What is the what is really being done here? What am I really pursuing? And he realized that he was basically on a vision quest. His life was like a vision quest, and to find himself, to seek truth, he did it through combat. You know, he did it through physical one-on-one competition in the most dangerous sport in the world, and then in having this ayahuasca. And I'm really speaking. Out of turn to put these words into his mouth,
but
I think what I got out of it from speaking to him was that he, now that he understands that this whole world exists and that it existed always, and it was behind the curtain, that he couldn't see the little man behind the curtain pulling the cords, and then all of a sudden he saw it and he sees everything.
Right.
He saw the whole thing.
Right.
That he's just, his perspective, it was altered so radically.
Wow.
And it also coincided with when he was diagnosed with this condition. So it's almost like the universe is giving him a new path.
No, it totally is.
Yeah.
It totally is. I'm a big believer of that.
It's possible. I mean, it's possible you created all yourself inside your imagination as well. That's
there's many things there that are possible.
Yeah.
If you're open to it.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be open to it.
Fuck yeah. The imagination itself is scary as fuck.
That's why people aren't open to it.
Yeah, well,
they don't want to look at that. It can just freak you out.
Imagination is madness. Just what it is. I mean, everybody thinks of the imagination as being, oh, you know, he thinks about things that aren't really there.
Right.
Sort of. But the imagination is also what made cities. It also what made laptops. It made every physical object that has ever been created had to be invented.
Right.
And it had to be invented through the imagination. Even if it was done in steps, like first came the tire, and then came the wheel, and then came the engine. All those things combined created a car that gets you to Vegas in 4 hours.
Totally.
And that's a real thing. You know, all those created a plane that gets you in the air. All those created a fucking spaceship that launches a satellite into orbit. All those created a phone that allows you to text someone who's in Australia. All those created light bulbs. All that shit is imagination. Imagination has reshaped the entire surface of the fucking planet like no other thing, entity, no other power.
Right.
More so than fucking volcanoes.
So after he had that trip and he doesn't fight anymore, did he find that he found it was a different calling for him right now?
I haven't talked to him in a while. We need to get it back on here. I don't know what he's up to these days.
Yeah, I'm very interested to know, did he feel like with that – his fighting was over and it was time for him to go to a new path, and that's why he wasn't really worried about having the surgery and going there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I think he probably would still like to compete every now and then if he could get it worked out, but I also believe that what he was saying was that that's not the most important thing in the world to him now.
Right.
And he also realizes how much of the goals that he wanted to achieve were ego-based, ego-centered.
Sure.
And one of the things that gets crushed when you have a really intense psychedelic experience is the ego.
Ego.
It always bounces back a little. I fight with my ego all the time, as every man does.
Of course.
It's also part of the testosterone thing. It's part
possibly,
of the XY chromosome thing. It's part of the dick thing. It's part of the male identity thing.
Right.
There's a constant need to feel special, you know, to justify why you're doing what you're doing, to reward yourself for what you've done and encourage further progress. But that progress, I mean, that's what sort of pushes forth almost everything that men do in this world. And there's that weird balance where you're trying to, you know, be a sort of enlightened person, but also you're a man, you know? And
so you're fighting against that.
Well, it's
kind of ego.
Fighting, yes, but I prefer the term struggle.
Okay, right.
Even struggle, but you constantly have to be aware of it. You constantly have to be on alert. Make sure that the ego never pops up. You got to constantly, because, you know, if you're under stress or if you're not diligent with your exercise and meditation, you can allow your thoughts to get away from you.
Totally. and take over. And then my other question was going to be, so I find it really fascinating that you're saying that, because I know women and men think totally differently.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that
right,
for sure.
Right, right.
My thought process changed, the way I interact. And people don't tend to realize that, why I think men and women always have problems with each other in relationships. Men's needs are different than women's needs. And it's a reality that people don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
It's true. It's like this – do you think that that is true?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, but I assume it's true, but you know
true.
It's true.
It's
you
totally
know it's
true. And I think a lot of problems could be solved in the world as well as relationships if people just are okay with that and they don't fight against it. Like, the woman needs these things necessary for me to be happy in this, and then the man needs this, and it causes this huge conflict within the relationship, whatever, if it's a friendship or a marriage or whatever.
Well, that's also with friendships, too. I mean, some people require a lot.
A lot.
Yeah, and some people don't. And the people that require a lot, don't hang out with them. They're not worth it. They're never worth it.
Totally.
They're never
no,
worth
totally
it.
You're totally right.
They're never worth it.
Never.
I don't care if they have golden pussy or magic dick, whatever. After a while, you're going to get
bored.
Well,
no, it's
you're
a two-way street. You have
yes.
to feel like you're both getting that yeah. situation, that.
And the people that require an exorbitant amount of attention,
yeah, no,
an exorbitant amount of, they're
right.
not, they're never worth
no
it.
No way. In the long run, you're going to suffer.
I dated this girl once, and she was so fucking dramatic. Everything was a struggle,
right.
and everything was against her, and everything was about her. Everything that went well for someone
right.
had to be turned around to highlight how bad her life is going,
right.
including things that would go well for me. It would immediately turn into woe is me because
right.
I don't have anything good going on in my. It was
wow.
so brutal. And we broke up, and then I started dating this other girl who was really nice. And it was like I got on a balloon,
right?
And I was flying around the city.
Right.
And the other girl was like friendly, and she cracked jokes all the time, and everything was funny to her. And I was like, "Oh, criminy! There's
what was
hope
I doing?
Out there. There's hope in the
totally.
World. It's like my soul was on a balloon, like up and away, my beautiful, beautiful balloon."
But she connected with you, though. It wasn't just her being a woman. I think there was a connection.
That's, yeah, but the crazy
people,
one was better
on the
in
people
bed.
Level.
The crazy one was better in the sack. Crazy wild bitch wanted to fuck like a dog. She wanted to just distract herself from her miserable mind. So she wanted
let's
to just have wild, crazy fucking hair-pulling madness. She just wanted to growl.
That's pretty awesome.
And the other one was just a sweetie. just, you know, and that, again, it's the balance of the fucking crazy world we
yeah,
live in.
Yeah, it is, totally, 100%.
The other problem is not just the men who... you know, who think that they understand how women think, and the women who think they understand how men think, is the people. The other problem is the people who pretend to be someone else to placate the opposite
oh,
gender.
Oh my God, that's so
it's
scary.
It's a huge issue.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. Those are the white knights.
Yes. Happens
the,
all the
male,
time.
The male bitches of the world.
Well, there's guys who get together with, like, for example, I have obviously stripper friends.
Obviously.
Obviously. Why did I say obviously? Because I work in the sex industry. Of course I have stripper friends. And then, like, the guys get with the girls, and they don't want them to strip anymore.
That's hilarious.
Happens yeah. all the time.
Porn stars, too, right?
Porn Doesn't stars, too. Nope, stars? Can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is that all about?
Yeah. Or they make weird rules. Like, you're allowed
yeah.
to fuck other people,
only
but only at
guy,
work.
Or you only have felt allowed to fuck
yeah.
girls in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Or, yeah, only girls in front yeah. of me. Or you can only fuck, like, a short list of guys that I'm friends with.
Exactly.
And they can't come in your face
well,
anymore.
Totally.
We're going to get real, not your butt.
Real specifically.
No double
not
penetration on my woman, bro. Yeah.
It's
know.
Really, that's ego stuff going on.
It is, but, you know. They say, I mean, if you really pay attention to the heavy-duty psychedelic heads, they say that at one point in time when people regularly consumed psychedelics,
mm-hmm.
we were much more like chimpanzees. We had this orgiastic community,
mm-hmm.
small group of,
right.
you know, 50 to 100 people,
uh-huh.
and we all shared.
Right.
And in fact, one of the guys that we have on the podcast all the time is a guy named Dr. Chris Ryan, and he wrote a book called Sex at Dawn, and it's
oh,
a fascinating
right.
book about the origins of human sexual
yes.
interaction. And his take on it is really, first of all, it's really well studied,
uh-huh.
and secondly, the just the origin of words like promiscuous.
Uh-huh.
The original origin of promiscuous doesn't mean like having sex with random people.
Uh-huh.
Like that never happened. It means mixed.
Right.
Mixed sexuality, like having right. sex with several partners.
Right.
That was promiscuous, but it was always people in the community. It was always people that knew each other.
Right.
Because there was only 50 of you, and you're hanging out in the Amazon.
you know, and you're shooting darts at monkeys and trying to stay alive and keep that fire lit.
Right.
It wasn't like going to a club and picking some strange guy and letting him come inside you. That didn't happen.
Right.
They didn't allow strangers in the camp. You know, they didn't just go meet people and fuck.
Right. It's like polyamory or something.
Yes.
People are just fucking each other. They know.
It's also the idea exists in fighter pilots. That was another really fascinating aspect of this guy's book, is that fighter pilots and people in intense, high-risk, high-death-rate jobs would often wife-swap.
Oh,
and the idea, the psychology behind it was the wife-swapping was to ensure that they're the one that they love so dearly. It's not that they didn't want to have this connection only with them, but they wanted other people to love them too because they probably wouldn't be around.
Oh, what a wow. That's really fascinating.
Yes, and it's very common amongst fighter pilots. Like, this is a switch that goes off when you're in this intense, you know, the odds
life
of me
death.
Dying are very high.
Right.
The odds of you dying are probably 30% or something crazy
that.
So I just made that up then.
I know.
I don't know why I threw out 30%. I had to define it. That's the ego. That's the ego. That's
my
male ego having to come up with a number. But that they do that on a regular basis. That's it's a super common thing among soldiers, some police officers. A lot of cops wind up doing that.
No, they totally do.
Yeah. That's what it's about. It's about this. There is a primal need to have your loved ones loved by others, so that they'll be safe when you're gone.
Wow, that's really fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. The human sexuality morphs so much dependent upon circumstance.
It's totally,
you know,
something people don't. They just think, that's why people, guys especially, need to go out. It's part of your DNA. It's part of, you need to spread your seed. It's very normal, I think, that guys go out and need to have sex with lots of different people. I think it's part
of. Try explaining that to my wife.
Or
anybody's
wife. It.
You can't.
I can explain
it. I know. I'm just kidding. But you can't.
But would
your
wife be okay with that if you did that, or would she not be okay with
that? I think she'd probably be pretty sad.
Really?
Yeah. No, women don't want you to go fuck other guys or other girls.
No, you can't be fucking other guys.
You can't do either one. You can't. Well, you don't want them to fuck other guys, and they don't want you to fuck other girls. And even if your DNA is telling you to go do it.
No, I know some people who are totally okay with that.
Well, yeah, and with a bunch of strippers and freaks. Look at you. You're established this.
I know all the polyamory people who fuck each other.
I think every man would certainly want that if it was a one-way street, but I think most men wouldn't.
So would
want
you be okay with your wife fucking someone else?
No, that wouldn't be nice.
Yeah.
I wouldn't enjoy that.
Yeah, you wouldn't enjoy it. What if you watch?
Well, my question for you, though, is because you were a woman and now you're a man, is how has your thoughts on that changed?
Oh,
you were always a lesbian, though.
Yeah,
I
identified as a gay woman for many years because it was the only thing I knew how I could identify. But though I felt like a man, then when I told my lesbian community, well, I kind of feel like a man and I'm going to have this change, they all dumped me. I lost all of my friends. They were like, you're a traitor. Basically, they said I'm a traitor.
What?
And I'm going to the bad side.
Wait a minute.
Totally.
That was the actual
20
words
years
they
ago.
Said?
Oh, yeah.
They actually said
you're
a traitor.
You're going to the other side. Totally, dude. And I was like, dumped.
Wouldn't you think that people who have been marginalized,
yes, you would think that,
forced to face all sorts of prejudice and hurtful things, that they would be more accepting?
You would think that. That's a very good point.
What is wrong with people?
Well, again, it was 20 years ago. I don't know if so many lesbians feel the way, but I think that there is this whole thing going on in the gay women's community where they feel sort of, I don't know. I can't say anything about that because
I've always wondered why they don't take up real estate the way that gay men do. Like, gay men can fucking dominate an entire community.
Against a male, and it's a male and female thing.
It totally is.
Of course. It totally is.
The building of male communities, like gay communities.
Yes.
It's like they're like, yoo-hoo.
It's
move
necessary.
Over here.
That's male. It is. Like, it's just men need to do it. Women are really much more, you know, passive, and they're fine with that, and they're fine with their situation there. They don't need to be making a big deal out of it.
I mean, I know that you experienced prejudice and hate as a woman who's a gay woman, but I think it's less so than gay men experience.
Yeah, because they're less out there, right?
Yes.
Like I just said, the gay men are out there making that statement, where the gay women are very comfortable being in their environment and not really making a big deal out of it.
But it's also like if gay women moved next door, it wouldn't freak a lot of people out. But if a gay man moved next door, they would start going, oh, he's going to try to fuck me.
That's what it is right there. It's more the men. Totally.
Yeah. Well, men don't want to feel like a sex object. They don't want to feel like
really?
The way they treat women.
I like
they don't
feeling want to... like a sex object.
But I think some men, well, to other men,
Right. Know, they worry. Especially that, if you're a straight man. Yeah. And you're like, no, that's not totally cool. And you're not affected by the gay women because you might want to watch the gay women have sex.
Yeah, the gay women are no problem
at
all.
Yeah, no, it's not an issue.
Matter of fact, you try to be friendly as possible. Not
exactly. Get invited over for the
party.
Yeah, parties.
Maybe if I'm just quiet and sit over here, totally. We could be buds. Well, listen, man, this is a great conversation. It's really, sweet. Really fun. I'm glad we had it. And I'm glad we covered, you know, so many of the various aspects of the world of transgender and thank gender you. Identity. And I think a lot of people got a lot out of this. At least I'd hope to think
I think
that.
So.
Yeah. I think it was a good one. I think it's a super important subject. And it's also super important that people kind of understand that, you know, it doesn't matter, man. It's people are people.
Right. Just,
whatever the fuck they want to do, whether it's be a man, be a woman, right. You know, get all tattooed up like you and I,
right.
Or not, or shave your head or not, or fucking whatever, man. Just what kind of interaction are you having with that person? And my interaction with you was very pleasant. I enjoyed it very much.
Me too.
So we're friends.
You're
now.
Pretty cool, dude.
You're pretty cool too. I'm friends with Buck Angels.
Awesome.
There you go, bitches. All right, that's the end of the podcast. If anybody wants to find you online, they can get you at Buck Angel on Twitter.
Yep.
And you have a website. It's buckangel.com. And what's the best one of those things?
Buckangel.com.
Buckangel.com is a contact and all that shit.
Twitter.
And Twitter is exactly the same. Yep. And Facebook exactly
and Facebook,
the same.
Facebook, yeah.
Okay. And let's do this again.
Oh, sweet.
We'll do
thanks,
it again.
Dude.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
Fun times. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the podcast. Thanks to Squarespace.com. Go to Squarespace.com. Use the code word Joe and the number 9 and save 20% off for a limited time. It might just be today. But you'll save 10% either way next month or whatever the fuck. It's worth it. Get a website, bitch. Don't be cheap. And support. Support the people who support us. And Lumosity.com. Is also our podcast sponsor, the newest, latest, and fascinating podcast sponsor, literally an exercise station for the mind. Really interesting games that you can play that actually enhance the way your brain functions. I'm trying them. I'm not smarter yet, but I have hope. Lumosity.com. Tell them that you heard it from me, Joe Rogan. And thanks also to Onnit.com. Use the code word Rogan and save 10% off any and all supplements. The next episode will be the Great 400, the 400 Podcast Spectacular. It will be our 400th episode, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get jiggy with it. We're bringing in Joey Diaz for sure, and hopefully a lot of the rest of the local posse, the entire freak party. And we will just get as many people in here as possible, and we'll all get lit up, and we'll have a good time. And it'll probably be a big sloppy drunk mess and stoned, and we'll probably forget what we're talking about halfway through. And I'm sure Brian's going to say something really stupid, and it's going to be excellent. It'll probably wind up being an animated thing online. So we'll for sure see you guys on Friday, most likely see you before then as well. So until then, big kiss. Mwah, go fuck yourself.